Hello and welcome to the campus of Mooresville High School. My name is Lex Zorn and I'll be bringing you all the action as your 8th-ranked Plainfield Quakers challenge the arch-rival Mooresville Pioneers in week 3 of the Indiana high school football season. Well, in the 83-year history of Plainfield football, it's very rare that the Quakers have been so dramatic. In their first two games of the season, which are also the first two games of the Tyler Bless era, the Quakers went down by 2 touchdowns in the first half, but then shut out their opponents the rest of the way and came back to win. 2 weeks ago at Terre Haute South, the Braves scored touchdowns on 2 of their first 3 possessions, taking a 13-0 first quarter lead before the Quakers got on track, taking a 17-13 halftime lead and winning 32-13. Then last week in their home opener, Plainfield hosted their newfound arch rival, the Harrison Raiders. The two teams played twice last year, both times at Harrison, with Plainfield losing 22-14 in the regular season, but winning 35-28 in the first round of the playoffs. Harrison received the opening kickoff and drove the ball downfield with no problem, scoring on a 2-yard rush by Chris Ferguson with 7:17 to go in the first quarter. That was followed in the second quarter by a 4-yard touchdown pass from Calix Dixon to Carter Canoy, giving the Raiders a 14-0 lead. Plainfield finally started to get on track on their last play of the first half on 4th and goal from the Harrison 13 when Hunter Newell threw a touchdown pass to Caden Vanderbush with 1.5 seconds left, cutting the lead to 14-7. And finally, with 8:24 to go in the fourth quarter, Luke Starnes capped off his second consecutive 100-yard gain with an 8-yard touchdown rush, and Brandon Hendry rushed in a 2-point conversion that gave the Quakers a 15-14 lead and the win, and their first 2-0 start in 4 years. Tonight, Plainfield goes for its first 3-0 start in 10 years, but to do it, they'll have to end a 5-game losing streak to Mooresville, who doesn't appear to be quite the powerhouse this year that they've been for much of the Mike Gillen era, but still should be a tough opponent. When Gillen took over the Pioneers in 2017, they were coming off nearly 7 consecutive losing seasons, finishing at 500 once in that stretch. But he quickly got the program turned around, and they've had 3 sectional championships and a regional championship in the last 5 years, while winning at least 8 games in every season. This year, after losing superstar quarterback Nick Patterson to graduation, Mooresville is off to a 1-1 start. 2 weeks ago, they lost 34-29 at Bloomington North, but then last week they won 28-12 at Danville. Tonight in their home opener and the Mid-State Conference opener for both teams, the Pioneers are playing before a fired-up home crowd, and a win against the top 10 team from a higher class would send a clear message that this can still be a very good Pioneers team. Now, so far this season, Plainfield has rushed 78 times and passed 40 times, a ratio of 1.95 to 1. Senior quarterback Hunter Newell has not put up big numbers, but he's been a very efficient game manager, completing 21 of 39 passes, 53.8% for 199 yards, 3 touchdowns, and most importantly, 0 interceptions. His leading receiver is junior Jameer Bowie with 9 receptions for 103 yards and 2 touchdowns, followed by senior Caden Vanderbush with 7 receptions for 52 yards and 1 touchdown, and senior Isaiah Miller with 2 receptions for 26 yards. In addition, senior Elijah Flowers has 1 reception for 9 yards, senior 1 reception for 9 yards, senior Marcos Rivera has 2 for 9, and sophomore Luke Starnes 1 for 0. On the ground, sophomore Luke Starnes looks like a star in the making. He's rushed 43 times for 261 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's gotten more than 100 yards in each game. He's also gotten solid backup help from senior Carter Ferguson with 10 rushes for 83 yards and junior Weston Weyrich with 6 for 26. In addition, Hunter Newell has rushed well, going 16 for 67 and a touchdown. Meanwhile, Mooresville has rushed 68 times and passed 41, a ratio of 1.66 to 1. After starting at wide receiver for the last 2 years, senior Hogan Denny has moved to quarterback and has completed 17 of 40 passes, 42.5%, for 283 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. His leading receiver is senior Levi Dorn, who has 8 receptions for 152 yards, an average of 19 per reception, and 1 touchdown. In addition, junior Trey Bennett has 3 receptions for 76 yards. Junior Caden Brune has 3 for 40 and a touchdown, and senior Landon Clements has 3 for 33. On the ground, Denny leads the team with 34 rushes for 402 yards, an astonishing 11.8 yards per rush, and 4 touchdowns. Clements is the Pioneers' only other significant rusher, going 30 for 129 and 2 touchdowns. Head coach for Plainfield is Tyler Bless, who's 2-0 in his first season with the Quakers. Head coach for Mooresville is Mike Gillen, He's 53-23 in his seventh season with the Pioneers and 358-140 in his 45th season overall. Next week against Mooresville will be his 500th career game as a head coach. Well, at this time, we'll take a short break for a few words from our sponsors, and then we'll be back with the opening kickoff. Plainfield Mooresville coming at you live under the Friday Night Lights. Next. We would like to thank the sponsors who made tonight's podcast possible. Midwest Pizza King, TJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Ginnell Financial, Remax Centerstone Julia Burbridge, BGW Construction, Holly Porter and Porter Hair Design, My IT Indy, I-70 Record Service and Garage, and Ellison Associates Remax. Thank you, sponsors. Your support for the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Mooresville, we're just a few minutes away from kickoff. We've got 3:58 to go now on the pregame clock. And I'll tell you, you've probably noticed over the years that I put a lot of trivia into these broadcasts. I think it makes the game, I think it makes the broadcast a lot more interesting, and I hope you agree. And, you know, while I was researching Mooresville football history for this broadcast, I discovered that they actually have two major milestones at stake tonight. Now, Plainfield and Mooresville have played each other in football every year from 1947 to present. In fact, 1947 was the first year that Mooresville played football. For Plainfield, it was 1941, 6 years earlier. During that time, the Pioneers' longest winning streak over the Quakers has been 5 games, which has been done twice. The first 5 years, and the last 5 years. So with the win tonight, Mooresville will get a record 6th consecutive win over Plainfield. Furthermore, the Pioneers enter this game with an all-time record of 382, 383, and 6. That means with a win tonight, that will even their record at 500 for the first time since, get this, all the way back in 1953. And next week at Greenwood, they would have a chance to move above 500 all-time in Mike Gillen's 500th game as a head coach. And for those of you wondering, by the way, Plainfield's longest winning streak over Mooresville is 16 games. And ironically, it followed Mooresville's initial 5-game winning streak that started off the series. Mooresville beat Plainfield every year from their first meeting in 1941 up through 1951. Then Plainfield won the next 16 meetings between the two schools and has had a lead in the series ever since. Plainfield currently leads the series 49-31. That's 47-29 in the regular season and 2-2 in the playoffs. So a win tonight would be the 50th win in the series for Plainfield. And by the way, for those of you wondering, Plainfield's all-time record in football is 446, 348, and 10. So if they win three more games than they lose, if they win two more games than they lose the rest of the season, they will end the season a minimum of 100 games over 100 all-time. So very impressive, especially considering the tough schedule that the Quakers generally play. Well, this time, let's take a look at what the other Hendricks County teams are up to tonight. Starting in Class 6A, Brownsburg is ranked number 2. Last week, they beat number 6 Cathedral, 45-31, and tonight, the Bulldogs host number 16 Franklin Central, who's also off to a 2-0 start. It looks like they're starting to turn a corner in their third year under head coach Jason West, who comes to the Flashes after winning one state championship at Lawrence Central and two at Warren Central. Avon is 0-2 after a 42-14 road loss to number 1 Ben Davis after losing 24-17 to number 14 ranked Lawrence North in week 1. The schedule remains very tough for the Orioles tonight as they visit number 4 Hamilton Southeastern. And to get an idea for how tough Avon's schedule is, 8 of their 9 opponents are currently ranked in the top 16 of the AP poll and 4 are ranked in the top 5. Avon is in his first year under head coach Rob Gibson, who's coming off 2 outstanding seasons at Owen Valley, going 22-3 with the Patriots. In fact, he replaced Mark Bless, who retired just in time to watch his son Tyler's first head season as head coach right here at Plainfield. Tri-West in Class 3A is ranked number 9 after a 34-17 road loss to Brebeuf Jesuit, who is currently ranked number 11 in Class 4A. The Bruins are now 1-1. And should get an easy win tonight visiting the usually woeful Frankfort Hot Dogs. Danville is at number 17 in Class 3A after a 28-12 home loss to Mooresville. Tonight, the Warriors at 1-1 host 0-2 Lebanon. And finally, in Class 2A, Cascade rounding out the county action. Last week, they got their first win of the season, 35-13 in Marion County at Beech Grove. Now 1-1, they return home to play 1-1 Edgewood. Well, I'll tell you, this is a great Labor Day. This matchup between Plainfield and Mooresville has become a great Labor Day weekend tradition here in the Mid-State Conference. It's the Mid-State Conference opener for both teams every year. It wasn't always that way. For most of their rivalry, typically the two teams played at some time in October, usually in the last 3 weeks of the regular season or so. The schedule has been moved around over the years, but the current Mid-State Conference schedule was instated in 2011. And this is, like I said, just been a great Labor Day weekend tradition. Every once in a while, this game will be the week after Labor Day, depending on, you know, quirks in the calendar, but usually it is a Labor Day weekend. And I'm glad you have chosen to start your Labor Day weekend with us here in this Plainfield football broadcast. And glad to see a lot of you are doing it in person. The visiting bleachers across the field from us, I think they seat about 500 people, and they're just about full. I barely see any empty space. And we also have a good number of Quakers who are just standing by the fence. Mooresville is the closest geographic rival for Plainfield. The school's just six miles apart. And this schedule, by the way, you know, compared to last year, is very favorable for road travel. You know, after that rough road trip to Terre Haute to start off the season, we only three more road games the rest of the regular season, including tonight. And then one of the others, 3 weeks from now against Decatur Central, is Decatur Central is only 8 miles away, and that means then our only other road opponent is Whiteland, who is about, I'd say, 20-25 miles to the southeast or so. So a really easy, a lot easier this year than last year to go to the Quakers games if you're a fan. So anyway, and we'll be back home the next 2 weeks, and then then at Decatur Central 3 weeks from tonight, then back at home 4 weeks from tonight. So the next 4 weeks we only have one road game, and it's not even 10 miles away. So it's 79 degrees here in the lovely community of Mooresville. We had a high today of 82. Not super ideal weather for the fans, but very good weather. You know, certainly a big improvement over last week when we had that scorcher for opening night against Harrison, and we delayed the start until 8 o'clock. I assume a combination of the weather and logistically for Harrison to get there, since they're about 80 miles away from Plainfield, and. I have a lot of mixed feelings. I have a lot of mixed feelings about the Plainfield-Harrison rivalry. Coach Bless said that Harrison will stay on the schedule for the foreseeable future. You know, I wish we had somebody closer on the schedule, but at the same time, what a rivalry it's become. We've played 3 games in just a little over 365 days. All were down to the wire thrillers, and one of them in the playoffs, and very likely we're going to be playing them in the playoffs again this year. Although I think Decatur Central right now, if you really look at what they've been doing through the first 2 games, they've probably established themselves as slight favorites, you know, to win the sectional. You know, they clearly are showing that last year was an aberration when they had their first losing season in 10 years. Going 4-7, losing to us twice after beating us the last 13 times, including 4 in the playoffs. The Hawks have started off this season with 2 great wins. One, 18-14 down at Columbus North, a 6A team. And then last week, 43-42 over New Palestine, a frequent 4A state championship contender. So Kyle Enright clearly has the Hawks in good shape. And certainly they have an outstanding quarterback named Bo Polson, who is probably the best freshman quarterback in the state last year. And when we play them in 3 years, they're going to be in a nasty mood after what we did to them last year twice, you know, beating them in overtime in the regular season, snapping that 13-game winning streak against us, and then obviously beating them, not only beating them in the sectional championship game, but the way we did. You know, they led 10-0 in the fourth quarter. And then finally, we won on a 19-yard touchdown pass from Hunter Newell to Noah Hessling with 1.3 seconds left. So certainly they're going to want to avenge that. And so anyway, it's great to it's just great to see how tough the Mid-State Conference has become. You know, when I started commentating Plainfield 11 years ago, the Mid-State Conference was certainly a solid conference, but it wasn't an elite conference. And now I think it's worked its way up to the point of being arguably the best conference in the state that's not primarily comprised of 6A teams. I mean, you've got three of the top eight teams in Class 5A this week. They're in the Mid-State Conference. Plainfield at number 8, Whiteland at number 6. Of course, last year the Warriors got all the way to the Class 5A state championship game. Decatur Central at number 4. So, you know, and then, of course, Mooresville ranked number 17 here in Class 4A. Usually they've been a top 5 team in Class 5A in recent years. They're just rebuilding now because of the loss of quarterback Nick Patterson, maybe the greatest dual threat quarterback in state history. He's now playing collegiately up at Saginaw Valley State University up in Michigan. You know, I remember for a long time when I first moved up here to Indianapolis, I frequently attended University of Indianapolis football games. They played at the time in the Great Lakes Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, which was a super conference in Division II. And they had two frequent Division II national championship contenders in Grand Valley State and Saginaw Valley State, where, like I said, Nick Patterson is now playing. So, right now, 7-6 your time of day, the clock has been delayed for several minutes at 2 minutes. The clock has been stuck at 2 minutes for the last several minutes. And now they're... I paused because they were doing a PA announcement. I wanted to make sure I didn't miss something important. They talked about the concession stand, I think. But anyway, this is the fourth time I've been here at commentating a game at Mooresville. The first time actually was when I was commentating for Decatur Central of all teams. They were an audio sports online school for a while. And I commentated here for Decatur Central back in 2013 against, obviously against Mooresville. And then I commentated Plainfield's games here in 2015, 2011, and again tonight. And, you know, boy, things have changed a lot since I first started coming here. You know, I started commentating in 2012, and Mooresville is the only school I ever commentated at that still had the old rugby-style goalposts. Which were common in the early years of American football and have become increasingly rare. By the time I was here in 2015, they had the new goalposts. And now, since I've been here last time, they've dramatically refurbished the press box. And my son Liam was excited to see that they are in the process of building an elevator here. You know, elevators are his biggest hobby. They have been for about 10 or 11 years now. He's eight, he says 10. He has an elevator channel on YouTube. It's Elevator Dude, so I hope you all will check that out, especially if you have an interest in elevators. He has hundreds of elevator videos up there. And he's been going with me to these games. This is his fifth year of coming to my broadcast with me. And he's only been to about four or five high school stadiums that have elevators. Liam, where have you been to in high school football?
I've been to Fishers High School
and Fishers and Hamilton Southeastern. Okay. And then I've been to Brownsburg. Yeah, before Liam was going with me, Brownsburg has an elevator there. And Center Grove, yeah. Center Grove, I'll tell you, I commentated there once when Avon played there back in the 2018 regional. And, man, it looks like a low-level Division I-A college stadium, and I'm not exaggerating. It's incredible. Definitely had a full-service buffet for the media. And of all the nights for me to be in a climate-controlled press box, that was the night because it was probably the coldest game I ever commentated at night. I think it might have dropped below 30. So, anyway, We await the arrival of the teams here. Maybe, you know, I wonder if, let me check here the schedule, see if maybe they've delayed this to 7:30. Now it's still showing 7 here, at least on John Harrell's page, which usually is pretty reliable. They usually update it pretty quickly. So I'm not sure what the issue is, but another thing, I think they had 10 rows of bleachers here on the visiting side. Right now it looks like they have 20. So I'm much higher above the field than I'm accustomed to being here. Although, you know, actually it's comfortable because this is about how high I'm accustomed to being, you know, at most high school stadiums, including playing fields. So, and appropriately they've got Liam, my son, and me sitting here at the far left of the press box, which is, you know, where we sat last week at Plainfield. And, you know, last week, of course, I was joined by my very frequent broadcast partner, Rob Kendall. I bet Rob and I, counting all sports, have probably done over 100 broadcasts together now, at least close to it. And then Doug Eden's made his long-awaited return. They're both not here this week, but hopefully they will be for our return home a week from tonight against Perry Meridian, a game that if we play our game, we should be. And hold on. Okay. The game is delayed because of the skydivers who are late. So we'll see how long they hold up for the skydivers. So anyway, while we're talking about that, getting back to trivia, I noticed something, you know, after the last game that it's quite a remarkable statistic, maybe a first in a Plainfield history. Like I said, Plainfield has won 446 games in their 83-year history. It's an average of more than 5 games a year. It's a very solid average, especially considering that they usually play a tough schedule. And the last 5 Plainfield victories, get this, because I think it's very impressive. They came from behind in all 5 of their last 5 victories. They came from behind in the fourth quarter in 4 of the 5, and they came back from trailing by double digits in the fourth quarter in 2 of those 5. So, I think it's time that we start calling them the Cardiac Quakers. And to just elaborate a little more, 5 wins ago, it was the week 9, the last game of the regular season last year up at Martinsville, or down at Martinsville, actually, southeast of here. We trailed 17-7 going into the fourth quarter before Noah Hessing scored 2 rushing touchdowns to give us a 21-17 victory. Then in the first round of the playoffs up at Harrison, we trailed 28-21 in the fourth quarter. Then on 4th and 18, Hunter Newell threw a 39-yard touchdown pass to Grant Irwin to tie it up. And then on Harrison's ensuing possession, fumble was recovered by Plainfield's Harrison Herbeck, who returned at 51 yards for a touchdown, giving Plainfield a 25-28 win. Then in the sectional championship game, Decatur Central was leading Plainfield 10-0 in the fourth quarter. Then a Bo Polston pass was intercepted by Grant Irwin and returned for a touchdown. The extra point failed, making it 10-6. And then finally, with 1.3 seconds left in the game, Hunter Newell threw 19 yards to Noah Hessling for the touchdown, giving Plainfield the 13-10 win. And finally, then the next game, Plainfield lost in the regional to Whiteland by a score of 49-14. Plainfield's only lost in their last 6 games. And then finally, in this season, Plainfield trailed Terre Haute South 13-0 before coming back to win 32-13. And then last week, they trailed Harrison 14-0. And then, in fact, they trailed 14-7 in the fourth quarter before coming back to win 15-14. So, again, Cardiac Quakers would be an appropriate name. But what I'm hoping tonight is, you know, okay, we've shown the last 3 wins last year and the 2 wins tonight. We can come back, which is great. That's one of the most important skills to have in football, that when you get down, you fight back hard and you win. And, you know, it gives, oh man, we got a skydiver coming in, and, man, that's incredible. And, man, that's breathtaking. So I don't know if we got any more coming in. We got this pink or orange or something mist coming up from the field also. They said, okay, here comes another one. And this reminds me of that new Mission Impossible movie that my son and I just saw in the theater a few weeks ago. And yeah, that one skidded on the field for a while, but both appeared to have landed safely. And now, yeah, Liam's, I think, filming it now on his phone. Here comes a third one. I have no idea how many there are. 7:14 your time of day. And so now the third one making a safe landing on the field. And they seem to have a pretty well soundproof press box here, so you probably won't hear the crowd very much, but the crowd is getting into it. And I think that was the last one. So anyway, getting back to what I was saying, though, you know, it's great to be able to come back. And, you know, one thing I've noticed over the years, 45 years of watching sports, is often when teams that aren't accustomed to trailing finally trail, they don't know how to handle it, and they choke and they fall in. Playing field has shown they don't do that. But at the same time, comebacks are not always available. So what I want to see tonight, you know, we saw about 40 good minutes from the Quakers 2 years ago at Terre Haute South. Oh, now we got a fourth one coming in. Look, Liam. Yeah, and this one, he's got an American flag parachute, and he's holding a big American flag on top of that. And I'll tell you, that reminds me of all the American flags that are on the entrance to Plainfield High School off of Indiana 267. It's great to see. You know, we need right now more than ever to love our country and to do everything we can to get it back on track through all these tough times that we're going through. So anyway, what I was saying, though, is it's just great to see us come back. But like I said, we had 40 good minutes roughly at Terre Haute South. We had about 30 good minutes last week against Harrison. I want to see 48 good minutes tonight. You know, this is a good Mooresville team. So apparently, based on their first two games, they lost to Bloomington North, a 5A team, only 34-29. Beat Danville, the number 17 ranked 3A team in the state, 28-12 last week. Both games on the road tonight. They were playing before a fired-up home crowd. It looks like we have somewhere in the neighborhood of probably 2,000 fans here on the Mooresville side of the field. And like I said, about 500, I think probably it's closer to 600 fans because of all the standing room now. A lot of the Plainfield fans, you know, who are standing rather than sitting in the crowded visiting bleachers. So we probably have somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,500 people in the stadium right now, which probably makes this one of the biggest attendances for a non-6A versus 6A game tonight. So great to see this fan support here on Labor Day weekend. Glad we got not great weather, but very good weather. Like I said, 79 degrees a few minutes ago after a high of 82 today here in Mooresville. And so, again, hopefully we'll get 48 good minutes tonight from our kids. And just, you know, we've shown we can come back. We've shown we can play well in long spurts. Now I want us to show that we can play well for the whole game. Our win against Harrison, who entered last game ranked number 5, probably a little overblown, but still certainly a solid Harrison team. The win moved us from number 11 to number 8, up 3 notches in this week's AP poll, so hopefully, you know, we'll keep on moving up. But of course, the main thing is, you know, how we do in the tournament. You know, you don't want to, you know, go to no, it doesn't, it's not much comfort to be number 1 if you lose in the first round of the tournament. You know, we could finish number 1 in the AP poll in Class 5A and then lose to Harrison or Decatur Central in the first round of the playoffs. And, you know, a local example, Avon in 2019, they not only were they 9-0, but they finished number 1 in the AP poll the last 8 weeks of the season, and then they lost to Brownsburg in the first round of the playoffs. I remember that so well. And the most awkward moment of my entire commentary career, I remember my broadcast partner, Rob Tindall, and I got in the elevator to go down to the ground level there at Brownsburg after that game. And we thought it was just going to be the two of us, and then the Avon assistant coaches that worked on top of the press box got in the elevator with us. And I mean, you could have heard a pin drop on the ride down. There's just so much unspoken tension, and I could only imagine. And that will talk to the national anthem. Well, thank you to the Mooresville Marching Quakers for that lovely rendition of the national anthem. And anyway, like I was saying, so we were about to, Rob and I were going to ride down to the ground level, and then the Avon assistants, you know, got on with us. And man, that was such an awkward elevator ride, because you could just feel the unspoken tension. You could sense the devastation they had, knowing that they just squandered a dream season in which they were serious state championship contenders. And ironically, Brownsburg was upset the next week in a game in which they were heavily favored over Zionsville. So anyway, I believe Zionsville is actually in its first year in 6A at that point. But anyway, and now they're honoring the first responders here. But and also a similar incident I had with Plainfield was last year, when Plainfield beat Harrison in the playoffs. I remember when the when the Harrison assistants came down from the top of the press box. You could see the anger, knowing that they had squandered that game. I mean, not that Plainfield didn't earn the comeback, but you know, we did get some help from them with those, you know, with giving that they had failed to get us off the field, or you know, they failed to stop us when we were 4th and 18 at the 39, and we got that touchdown, and then you know, then the Harrison fumbled, lost fumbles on its next two possessions, and you know, that sealed the win for us. But anyway, now they've got the clock set for 12 minutes, and they're getting ready to do the coin toss here. So that should give me enough time to make this statement. You know, for many years, like Doug Edens and I talked about in the pregame last week, you know, sports were a great uniter of people, of races, of cultures, and of countries, you know. And in the last 6 or 7 years, politics has gotten its ugly hands on sports, and that's really ruined it for a lot of people. And I want you to know that I don't get into that stuff. I think sports and politics simply should never be mixed at all. So no matter what your political views are, you know, it is my honor and pleasure to have you in my audience tonight, and I will not discuss politics in this broadcast. And I just want you to enjoy this game, no matter where you are on the political spectrum. So, you know, we have 165 hours a week that we can argue about politics. And believe me, that's far more time than we need. So from 7 to 10 on Friday nights, we're not Democrats, we're not Republicans, we're simply Quakers. That's our time to come together and support these kids. All right. So now I hopefully establish myself as the great uniter of Plainfield sports there, and in the coin toss now, and hopefully Plainfield will receive, because I think it's very important that they don't start in a hole. Okay, Plainfield will receive. All right. So, let's play some football. It's about time here. I think this might be the longest into a broadcast that it's ever been before we got the opening kickoff. By the way, this is my 122nd game as a varsity football commentator. My 100th was here at Mooresville 2 years ago in Plainfield's game here, 22 games ago for the Quakers. Now the Quakers take the field here to receive the kickoff. Well, I think I've done between 350 and 400 sports broadcasts overall, in addition to varsity. Varsity football. I've done a lot of boys and girls varsity and junior varsity basketball, a little bit of baseball, and a little bit of high school baseball and softball. And then last year, Rob Kendall and I did several games for the Indiana Lions, minor pro basketball team, co-champions of the American Basketball Association this year. They're based out of Danville. We had a lot of fun on this broadcast. So anyway, now Mooresville getting ready to kick off. We got Caden Vanderbush and I believe Jameer Bowie back deep to receive. Mooresville wearing the dark home uniforms here. Plainfield wearing the visiting white jerseys. The deep kick, and it's going to go into the notes taken by Vanderbush at the one that counted as a touchback. I think he grabbed it at the one, and then I think he had 1 foot at the one and one in the end zone. So Plainfield will take over at the 20 here. Hunter Newell in his second full season as a starter. He split time about equally with Carson Melvin 2 years ago when Melvin was a freshman and Newell was a sophomore. Newell then started every game as a senior, as a junior last year. Now every game as a senior this year. He's looking very promising and getting a college scholarship. So now Plainfield lines up two receivers to the left. We got Bowie and Vanderbush lined up. We got two running backs. Plainfield's not run that formation much. It's Flowers and Starnes. Newell and shotgun. Takes the snap, takes the handoff, rolls right, screen pass, complete, it's up to the 25, 30, and up. It's going to be a first down up to about the 33. So that was a reception there by number 44 for Plainfield. That was Brandon Hendry, who has scored two-point conversions for us. So first and 14 for the first and 10 for the Quakers at their own 34. And now a handoff. And this time he's got her hole up to the 40, 45. It's Starnes 50, 45. So two plays, two first downs for the Quakers. He moved from our 34 to their 44. That's a pickup. They marked it 45. Nevertheless, a pickup of 21 for Starnes. Starnes with 100 yards and a touchdown in each of the first two games, hoping to, you know, match or exceed that this week. So first and 10, and now screen pass, it is complete. And now it's a spin around to Starnes. He spins around twice, doesn't get much, but, you know, he broke at least two tackles, picked up about 2 yards there. Still bring up second and about eight for the Quakers. Newell has completed his first two passes. Starnes only a sophomore. So second and eight at the Mooresville 43 for the Quakers, and we got some movement at the line and a flag. So Starnes with one reception for 2 yards and one rush for 21 yards. So it's going to be a 5 yard penalty against Mooresville. So we go from second and eight to second and three. 10:36 to go in counting. Plainfield off to a good start here on the opening drive of the game. And now screen pass. It is deflected. It was intended for Jameer Bowie, the leading receiver on the season. Just didn't get the grip on it. So Newell's first in completion. He's 2 for 3 now. See, I was on the air about 35 to 40 minutes before the opening kickoff. That was the record, I think, for my career. So now two receivers to the right, one to the left, two running backs, Newell and shotgun. Takes it, and but they telegraphed it. Starnes, and he's brought down for a short loss. That's going to be third and about five or so for the Quakers. I'm sorry, fourth down because of the incomplete pass. Quakers are, and they're going to give him a 3 yard loss there. So Quakers likely to go for it, fourth and six at the Mooresville 41. Two receivers each side now, one running back, Newell in shotgun. And I'll say, I'm thinking I'm probably going to stand up, and I'll be, Plainfield taking a timeout here with 9:49 to go. Very early to take the timeout, but I think Coach Blush is thinking, you know, they've gone down two touchdowns in the first half to start off both of their games so far. Had to play catch up the rest of the way, and of course they did end up winning. They did end up winning both games. But really, at this situation, you know, when they're into Mooresville territory, they really want to score on this drive. In Mooresville, looks like they're a solid team this year, but clearly probably their weakest overall team since Gillen's first team here back in 2017, when they were a relative rebuilding project. They were coming off seven consecutive seasons at 500 or below. They finished at 500 once in 2015. Other than that, six losing seasons. They had okay, and now the Quakers going back out. We've got three receivers to the right, one to the left. Luke Starnes, the running back. Newell, the running Newell in shotgun. Fourth and six now, and now we've got a and now Mooresville. Taking a timeout. No, I'm sorry. Let me correct that. So it was Mooresville who took the first timeout. I apologize. And now they took another one. So Mooresville now in the first 3:11 of the game has used two of their three timeouts. Wow. You don't see that very much. You know, especially coached by a longtime veteran such as Mike Gillen in his 45th year as a head coach. He's been a head coach in six decades here in Indiana high school football. First Tri-West, then Decatur Central, then Indian Creek, finally here at Mooresville. He is a living legend. He's the fourth winningest coach in Indiana high school football history, the third among active coaches. So now Mooresville retakes the field. After having used two timeouts to try to stop Plainfield from getting these 6 yards here. So now we've got Bowie Miller and one other receiver out to the right, then one to the left. I believe Starnes is still in there at running back. Newell in shotgun. Fans stomping on the bleachers. 18 on the play clock. Takes the snap. Drops it back. Screen pass. And he's got the first down. He's got the first down and a little more. All right. That was Luke Starnes. Good job, Luke. All right. So Newell's completed three of his first four passes, and the Quakers are in business here. He moves 7 yards there. Starnes with two receptions now, totaling 9 yards. So first and 10 for the Quakers at the Mooresville 34, 9:20 to go and counting here in the first quarter, no score yet. And now a handoff there to Starnes. He's met at the line and stopped right around the line of scrimmage. His first one went for 21. His second went for minus 3. I think that's going to... And that's going for minus 1. So they stopped Starnes for a loss on his last two carries after getting 21 on his first. So second and 11 at the 35 for the Quakers. First possession for either team of the game. Now three receivers to the right for Plainfield. Looks we've got Vanderbush, Bowie, and one more. And now a screen pass there. And it looks like a little bit of miscommunication. Miller with the intended receiver. It was just a little bit too far to the right. So Newell 3-for-5 here on the opening possession. Third and 11 at the 35. Clock stops 8:36 to go here. Coming at you live here on Mooresville, week 3. Game 3 out of 9 in the regular season. Great Labor Day weekend tradition here. The 13th consecutive season that Plainfield and Mooresville have played in week 3 of the season. The 77th consecutive year that the two teams have played at least once. Two receivers each side now, one running back. Now fakes the handoff. Newell over on the left side, and just a little bit thrown too far to the right. Bowie was the intended receiver. So now fourth and 11. I believe the Quakers are going to punt here. Likely Cameron Grimes has attempted two field goals on the season. He hit from 40, missed from 45. I don't think he would this would be a 52-yarder. I don't think he has that range. The Hagee brothers were at least close to that range, Morgan and John. I believe Grimes is going to turn out to be our best kicker since the Hagees. It's a high snap, but he gets it. He kicks it. It's going to be inside. It's going to be close to the end zone. We could be able to down it very close. And it goes up to about the 5. So good job for the Quakers. So the Pioneers start at the 5. Not a real good offense this year, not like what we're accustomed to seeing from Mike Dillon. Hogan Denny has moved over after playing other positions the last couple of years to quarterback. You might remember a couple of years ago when Plainfield we were trailing 56-42 in the fourth quarter, and we're about to cut it to one touchdown. We fumbled the ball, and Denny scored on a 92-yard fumble return to seal the win for the Pioneers. Now he's taking over at quarterback this year with not real good success through the air, but he is the team's leading rusher. And now we've got a whistle here. 8:18 to go here in the first quarter. Still no score. Mooresville about to start its first possession. They're at their own 5 after that 30-yard punt by Cameron Grimes. So three receivers to the right, one to the left. And now and it hands off to Clements, and he gets about 2. Landon Clements for the Pioneers. He and Denny do almost all the rushing for the Quakers. He didn't get as good a spot as I thought, only 1 yard, second and 9 for the 6. So now we've got Dorn and Brune on the right, not on the left. And I believe that's still Clements here at running back. And now he throws deep, but it's going to be nowhere close to anybody. Some fans calling apparently for a pass interference penalty. I didn't think there was one. I didn't think there was any illegal contact there. So now we've got third and 9 at the 6, so one more stop for holding him to 3 and out. So boy, that'd be great if we could, induce a punt from the back of the end zone. So now two receivers to the right, one to the left, one running back, Denny in shotgun. Takes it, drops back, he's got time, and now he runs with it himself. And he gets a few yards, but he's going to be a few yards short of the first down. I think he got about 5. Denny has been a very good rusher on the season. He's averaged over 10 yards a rush. So I assume Mooresville will be punting there. 7:33 to go. I can't imagine that they would pay to give him credit for 5. I can't imagine they would go for it here on their own. They give him credit for 6, excuse me. So it looks like Mooresville will be punting from their own end zone. Ferguson back deep to receive. He's standing at the Mooresville 44. And nearly blocked. And now it takes a long Mooresville bounce. Goes all the way to the Plainfield 40, and it's... But there is a flag here. One of the other commentators thinks it's possibly roughing the kicker against Plainfield, but let's see. If that's the case, then I believe it's an automatic first down. But we shall see. Clock stop now, 7:07 to go. The flag is lying down about the 3. Okay, yeah, so it's against Plainfield. So, yeah, that's a bad break for the Quakers. 7:01 to go. And by the way, I'm going to be standing up for a lot of this game because the thing is there are two rows of windows here in the press box, and there's a screen that makes it hard to read the there's a screen on the bottom row, but not on the top row. The screen makes it hard to read the jersey numbers, so I can see them much better when I stand up. So now Mooresville, 1st and 10 at the 16. We got to get them off the field. Mooresville, 1st and 10 at their own 16. Three receivers to the right, one to the left. That was Broome there on the reception. That's going to be 2nd and that was Caden Broome there. See how much they give. They give him credit for 6 there. So that was Denny's first, and we got an injured player here. And now the injured player off. I did not catch who it was. Sorry. So two receivers to the left, one to the right. One running back, Denny, and shotgun. Takes it. Hands off to Clements. I think he's got the first. It's going to be at least close. Landon Clements. Let's see. Looks like they're going to mark him down a yard short. So Clements 4-3, making it 3rd and 1 now. As we hit the exact midway point here in the first quarter, still no score. Plainfield and Mooresville. Two original members of the Mid-State Conference. So two receivers to the left, one to the right. Now high snap, and now he goes up front and now rolls right, and he's got the first down and more up to about the 35 or so. So Hogan Denny got 6 on his first keeper. He's going to get about the same on this one, maybe a little less. He got the first down nevertheless. Okay, I guess we're saying he stepped out at the 33, which would be a gain of only 2 yards. Nevertheless, he did get the first down. He only needed 1. So now Broome lines up as a wide receiver to the left. So one receiver on the right. And now a screen pass is completed to Broome. And he looks for an opening, but he's brought down for maybe a slight loss. Broome, he spun around. He did about 2 or 3 revolutions there before being brought down. They give him credit for no gain there. So 2nd and 10 now at the 33. The Pioneers started this drive, their first of the game, back at the 5 after a 30-yard punt by Cameron Grimes. Now, let's see. We've got J.J. Knight lined up to the left, 2 receivers to the right. Denny, the running back. I think Clements is still in there at running back. I'm sorry. And now throws deep down the middle, but it's nowhere close to anybody. I'm not sure. I think he was going after Levi Dorn, who is a senior wide receiver. So that will bring up a 3rd and 10, so we've got to get him off the field here. Denny, 2 for 4 through the air, only 6 yards. Both completions coming to Caden Broome. Hogan Denny doing an admirable job, you know, going to quarterback, making his high school debut at quarterback as a senior. After doing a lot of things on both offense and defense on other positions the last 2 years, while Nick Patterson led the team. So now 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. Denny, and he's pressured. We've almost got him for a sack, and oh boy, he dodges it. He's broken 2 sacks so far, and now he's way back, and we got him for a huge loss. Yes, that's a loss of about 13 yards there. All right, so 4th and long, we're going to get the ball back, probably in good position. He should have gotten rid of it, but he kept on looking for a hole. He got out of 2 sacks, which showed amazing mobility, but in the end, he just should have gotten rid of it. So 16-yard loss there. All right. So now the Quakers, 3:47 to go, about to get the ball back. Fourth and 26 after that 16-yard sack. So now the punt is up. It's a launch kick. Wow, it has to go all the way in the back feet and the other side of the field, and it takes a nice Mooresville bounce all the way to the 33. So that will be a punt of 50 yards there. So the Quakers will start the drive at their own 33, 3:46 to go. Each team has had the ball once, no score yet. Plainfield drove the ball down to the 35 and then punted all the way down to the 5. Mooresville got the ball. Looked like they were going to be held to a 3-and-out, but a penalty against the Quakers on the punt gave the Pioneers an automatic first down. However, the drive was stalled on a 16-yard sack against Hogan Denny. So now Hunter Newell and the rest of the Quakers offense back on the field here. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. Takes the handoff and now throws downfield. He's got a man open up, and he's got a catch inside the 25. That was Vanderbush, and that's going to be a pickup of over 40 yards. All right. So Plainfield, that's the closest that either team has gotten to the goal in this game. That's a pickup of 46 yards there. Vanderbush's first reception. Newell's completed 4 of 7 passes so far. So now the Quakers first and 10 at the 21. Now hands off to Starnes. He's got a little bit of a hole and now moves over to the left. He's got about 3 there. Starnes had 21, then minus 3, then minus 1. He does get a little positive yards there, not a lot. 2:45 to go here. Let's see where they mark it. I give him credit for 3 there. 4 for 20 on the game for Luke Starnes, the very promising sophomore running back. So now we got 3 receivers to the right. And it gives it to Starnes, and he's up for about 2 or 3 more, so it's going to be about 3rd and 5 or so. We are in field goal range at the very least. 2 yards there by Starnes. 5 for 22 on the game, 3rd and 5 for the Quakers at the 16. This would be a 33-yard field goal. Grimes is hit from 40. So now we've got, it looks like, Bowie, Vanderbush, and Miller out there. Screen pass on the left is completed to Starnes, and he's got a screen pass caught for the first down. He got about 1 more than he needed. Newell's completed 5 of 8 passes on the game so far. So it's going to be first down at the 10. Starnes, two receptions so far, going for 15 yards. So now looks like it'll be Miller and Vanderbush out to the right. Starnes, the running back, takes it, and he's in, up through the middle past the 5. He's going to be down to about the 3. So the Quakers knocking on the door of getting the first score in this game. They say he's on the 2, all right. Starnes has scored 1 touchdown each of the first 2 games, trying to make it 3 for 3. 6 for 30 so far. So Vanderbush and Miller lined up to the right. Gives it to Starnes again, and he's into the end zone, I believe. Yes, he's got it. So Luke Starnes opens the scoring here with 1:16 to go in the first quarter. Plainfield scores first for the first time this season. All right. I said I wanted to see 48 get a minute. For the most part, they've played very well so far. Plainfield has attempted the 2-point conversion on, I believe, 4 of 6 touchdowns this season. Cameron Grimes, however, is lined up for the extra point here. So let's see what they do. So And now we've got a flag thrown here before the snap. So Luke Starnes, three games, three touchdowns for the budding superstar sophomore. Also got 100 yards in each of the first two games. He's on pace to do that tonight, 7 for 32 here in the first quarter. As the penalty was against Plainfield, nevertheless, they're still lining up to go for the one. This would be a 25-yard kick rather than the standard 20. Marcos Rivera, a senior, is holding for the Quakers. Grimes, the promising junior. Low snap, but he gets it. The kick is up, and it is good. So with 1:16 to go here in the first quarter, your Plainfield Quakers off to a promising start. They lead the Mooresville Pioneers 7-0 here on AudioSportsOnline.com. My name is Lex Zorn. It's my honor and pleasure to be here in my 12th season of commentating Plainfield Quakers football here on AudioSportsOnline.com. Sometimes joined by my buddies Rob Kendall and Doug Edens, doing it alone tonight with my son Liam here by my side in the press box. He always makes Instagram posts about these games. He's very good at it. He's very talented in many ways. He's an elevator enthusiast, actor, editor, sound effects guy. He does a lot of things. He's really diverse. And now becoming an avid Plainfield Quakers fan. And I'll tell you, last year during one game, after they made a good play, he said, we're in business. So I knew that I'd been rubbing off on him because that's one of my most common phrases when we make a good play. So anyway, back deep to receive for the Pioneers. Now we have J.J. Knight and Caden Brune. Knight, a senior. Brune, a junior. It's a deep kick. It's fielded at about the 10, brought up to the 15, 20. He's got a hole. 25, 30, 35. We've got a flag here, and he's brought down right on 35. We've got at least four flags there. Okay. Oh, there's four officials, so every official threw his flag. And, you know, when I see multiple flags, what I always think about is that Cal Stanford game back in 1982, where, if I remember correctly, every official, I think they have six or seven officials working in major college games, I believe everyone has thrown his flag, and they all, you know, when multiple flags are thrown, each official who threw the flag gets together, and each says what he threw the flag for, and they determine from there what happens. But, yeah, basically, the head official, and it's just going to be Miss Plainfield. So we'll see where the ball's marked. But anyway, the head official actually did not see that the Cal player had taken the ball into the end zone, and he said he was relieved when he found out that he had, that the player had taken it into the end zone, because there's an obscure rule that's so obscure that I didn't even know about it, which means it's super obscure, as much football as I watch, that if a representative of the defensive or receiving team is not eligible to be in the game but is standing between the ball carrier and the end zone, the official at that point can legally award a touchdown, and the official said he did not want to make a subjective call like that. So, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, I guess because of my age, I'm 52, I always take for granted everybody knows about it. But for those of you who don't, just go online and look up Cal Stanford 1982, and maybe type in marching band also, and you should get all the information you need about it. So anyway, Mooresville starting off at their own 50, and now Denny takes it up himself, gets about three. Hogan Denny, the quarterback, the team's leading rusher. So, you know, Denny, obviously, he was number two. He's a senior, 6 feet, 195. Certainly admirable the way he's filled in at quarterback, you know. As a senior, so second and seven now. Screen pass, it is completed. He's got the first. It's to Brune. He gets eight or nine. Jenny's completed 3 of 5. All of his completions have been to Brune. So they give him credit for 9 yards there. Yeah, Brune, again, all three receptions for Mooresville so far in this game. 25.5 seconds to go here in the first quarter. 7:55 your time of day. The kickoff was delayed about 20 or 25 minutes because the skydivers were late. There were 4 skydivers who came down onto the field before the game. I don't think one of them was Tom Cruise. But anyway, 2 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. So they give it to Clements. He stopped right around the line of scrimmage. 5 seconds left, and that will probably be the last play of the quarter. It is. So after 1 quarter of play here at Mooresville, your score, your Plainfield Quakers 7, the Mooresville Pioneers 0 in game 3 of the season. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors on AudioSportsOnline.com. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football on AudioSportsOnline.com is made possible by Midwest Pizza King, CJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Ginnell Financial, Remax Centerstone, Julia Berberich, BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design, and Holly Porter, My IT Indy, I-70 Record Service and Garage, and Ellis & Associates Remax. Thank you, sponsors. Your support of the student-athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Mooresville, we're about to start the second quarter in game 3 of the season with your Plainfield Quakers, ranked number 8 in the state in Class 5A, with a 2-0 record, trying to make it 3-0. They're off to a good start. They lead the Mooresville Pioneers by a score of 7-0. Luke Starnes opened the scoring with 1:16 to go in the first quarter on a 2-yard rush. Cameron Grimes was good on the extra point. Now on Mooresville's ensuing drive, the Pioneers have it 2nd and 11 at the Plainfield 39. So now the two teams take the field again. Mooresville, you know, certainly one of the most improved teams, probably one of the 3 or 4 most improved teams in the state over the last 5 years. They were coming off 7 straight seasons, 500 or worse in 2018 when they began a streak of 5 consecutive seasons of at least 8 wins, including 3 sectional championships and a regional championship. They are a little bit, hold that thought. So now a screen pass, and it is a short gain there to Levi Dorn. That's his first reception of the game. Dorn, a senior who's had a lot of success over the last couple of years with quarterback Nick Patterson. So that's a gain of 2 yards there. That's the first reception for Mooresville to anybody other than Caden Brune. So 3rd and 9. Boy, that'd be great if we got him off the field here. The Pioneers likely in 4 down territory, though. But anyway, so now 2 receivers to each side now. And now Denny throws up, and it's incomplete. It looked like he wasn't sure who he wanted to throw to. Maybe some miscommunications with the receivers. Denny 4 for 7 now, so it'll be 3rd and 9 for the Pioneers on the Plainfield 37. Will they go for it? 11:15 to go here in the second quarter. Plainfield 7, Mooresville 0, game 3 of 9 in the regular season. Hard to believe the regular season will already be a third of the way done after tonight. That'd be great if we could go 3-0. Plainfield has not been 3-0 since all the way back in 2013. I'll be talking more about that later on. So now we've got Levi Dorn lining up to the left, 2 receivers now, 2 receivers to the right. Now high snap. Denny's running for his life, and he just gets rid of it, and it is incomplete. So Plainfield will take over on downs in pretty good field position at their own 37. Plainfield put immense pressure on Denny, and he just got rid of it, trying to avoid, you know, I think probably he had that 16-yard sack in his head.
All right.
Boy, that would be great if we could take a 2-touchdown lead here. Of course, you know, if we do, you know, we better not relax. We better not, you know, take a foot off the accelerator because, you know, we've lost 2 games the last couple weeks after, well, we've won 2 games the last 2 weeks after trailing by 2 touchdowns. So You know, we've done it to others, but others can do it to us too. So now we'll have three receivers to the left, two to the right, empty backfield, Newell and shotgun. Takes it. Now gives it to Starnes on a jet sweep. He goes over to the right, looks for some room, doesn't get much, maybe a yard or two. Starnes, his eighth carry already in the game. He's been quite a workhorse already on the season. They give him credit for only one there. He scored the only touchdown of the game so far, second and nine out for the Quakers at the 39. Two receivers to the left, one to the right, two running backs now, one on each side of Newell. Takes the snap, gives it up to Starnes. He's got a hole there, and he weaves his way around. Got some room over on the right, gets it up to about the 45, so that's going to be a gain of about six for Luke Starnes, already his ninth carry of the game. That young man's showing a lot of toughness. He wears number 32, big running back number, 5'8", 174. That'll give him a better spot than I thought, 7 yards there. 9 for 40 and a touchdown for Starnes so far early in the second quarter. 10-10 to go now. And now they give it to him again, and I think he's got the first down and about a yard more. Yes, he got the first. All right, all right. So they give him credit for a three there. 10 for 43, averaging 4.3. Not spectacular, but if you get the 3.4, that's enough to keep the clock and the chains moving. Boy, that'd be great if he could run three or four more minutes off the clock and get the score here. So three receivers to the left, one to the right, low snap, but he gets it. Throws deep down the left side to Vanderbush. He's got a catch at the 30, 25, 20, over to the 15, and down to about the 10. So Caden Vanderbush, I'm sorry, that was Isaiah Miller. Isaiah Miller, correction there. Apologies there. But nevertheless, that is a 42-yard reception there to Isaiah Miller, by far his longest of the season. So Hunter Newell starting to come alive. This is he's completed 6 of 9 now. So now first and 10 at the 10 for the Quakers. Three receivers to the right, one to the right, and now they've got a now a flag here. Well, hopefully we'll get the touchdown here, but even if we get a field goal and we're well in Cameron Grimes' range, we will have a two-possession lead, which will still be very big. And it's going to be 5 yards against the Quakers, backing it up to the 15. Not a lot of penalties so far in this game. You know, I remember the first time I commentated Plainfield versus Mooresville was back at Plainfield in 2014. With my former broadcast partner, J.P. Sinclair. And I think we had penalties on four of the first five plays from scrimmage. So now two receivers to each side, one running back. Now pass to Ferguson, but it's dropped. Probably wouldn't have gotten much. So second and 15. I guess second and goal at the 15 for the Quakers. Newell's completed 6 of 10 passes, 117 yards. Including a 46-yarder to Vanderbush and a 42-yarder to Miller. So he's showing that he can go deep. 9:05 to go here in the second quarter now. Plainfield second and goal at the 15. Leading 7-0, trying to make it 14-0 here. Two receivers each side now, two running backs. Newell gets it, rolls right. He's got to get rid of it! And he doesn't, and he's a 14-yard. Oh man, that what should have gotten rid of it. Should have learned from what happened to he should have learned from what happened to Denny just a little while ago. First mistake that Hunter Newell's made in the whole game. Disappointing turn of events here. The Quakers, after that 42-yard pass, had it first and goal at the 10 after the 42-yard pass from Newell to Miller. Now third and goal at the 29. Now we just got to get some yards here to get in field goal range. Two receivers deep side, one running back. And now fakes the handoff. Newell throws, and it is caught, but only for about 6 or 7 yards. That was Isaiah Miller again. So let's say that we, you know, this would be about a 40-yard field goal for Grimes. They gave him a better spot than I thought, too, so that, this would be a 37-yarder. So that will be an, and now I believe Plainfield has taken its first timeout. Mooresville took back-to-back timeouts a little over 2 minutes into this game when Plainfield had it on fourth and six at the Mooresville 41. So Plainfield now fourth and goal at the 20. This will be a 37-yarder as Grimes hit a 40-yarder a couple of weeks ago at Terre Haute South. I would imagine they'll go for the field goal here. You'd hate to, you know, squander this drive without any points. And again, clearly they're in Grimes' range. So Miller, two receptions on this drive for 51 yards. And, you know, I heard one of the other commentators comment, one of the other commentators mention Miller's height. I somehow never realized he's listed at 6'5", and Vanderbush is listed at 6'6", so we have really good height for our wide receivers here. I guess maybe because of the Vanderbush brothers' height, as Cale was listed at 6'6", I never even thought about, you know, I just overlooked Miller's height there. But anyway, so now Cameron Grimes on to attempt a 37-yard field goal on the season, 3-for-3 on extra points, 1-for-2 on field goals, hit from 40, missed from 45, this is for 37, his shortest attempt on the season. This would make it 10-0, it is up, and it's going to be, I think, a little short, and it is. So the Quakers get it first and 10 at the 10, but leave the field without any points. So they left at least 3 points on the field there. Very disappointing. Now now the defense has just got to do its job. Of course, Mooresville has not done a whole lot in the game. Offensively, they only have 14 net yards from scrimmage so far. So as long as we can keep holding their offense like that, you know, we're going to have a good chance to pull this off. So now two receivers to the left, one to the right, Denny and shotgun, one running back. Takes it. And now takes the handoff. He runs to his left, and he's pushed out of bounds around the 15th. That's going to be a loss of about 5 yards. And we already got Denny for a 16-yard sack. So good, we got him in a high-pressure situation, already second and 15 at their own 15. Plainfield's played pretty well defensively so far. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. 7:38 to go. So now Denny, it's dropped. He threw it to Dorn. It hit his hands and dropped to the ground. So now no excuse for not getting him off the field here. Third and 14 at the Mooresville 16. No excuse for not getting him off the field. Mooresville only 10 yards from scrimmage this game, over a third of the way into this game. Nick Patterson started the last 3 years, maybe the best dual-threat quarterback in state history. A real treat to watch. I got the pleasure of commentating him twice, both Mooresville victories. So now, we got a flag here, the play whistle dead. So it's going to be delay of game against the Pioneers. So third and 14 turns to third and 19. So boy, that'd be great if we could get a punt from the end zone there. You know, Plainfield has easily outgained. I mean, Plainfield so far 155 yards from scrimmage, Mooresville 10 yards. That's domination. Yet we're only at 5. We're only up by 7 points. So that's a reminder, you got to finish drives. So now Denny takes it, throws deep down. It's going to be a double coverage, and it's deflected to the ground through to Dorn, but he was well covered. So now, Denny, 4 for 10 on the game. That's about his average. He's completed 42.5% of his passes. Again, you know, he had never played high school quarterback until this year. Filling in for Nick Patterson, certainly an unenviable task. Patterson, like I said, now a freshman at Saginaw Valley State University up in Michigan. So now, Mooresville set to punt from the middle of the end zone. Boy, that'd be great if we could get a block here and a touchdown. Carter Ferguson standing on the Mooresville 47 right now. 7:28 to go. And now the kick is up, and it is hits at the 45. And now it's down around the Plainfield, the Mooresville 46, excuse me. So Plainfield with 7:18 to go in the second quarter in a 7-0 lead, taking over an excellent field position here. You know, I have mixed feelings about these soundproof press boxes. You know, I miss hearing, you know, the crowd excitement, but man, it is nice from a commentator's perspective, you know, not to have that outside interference, that noise. So now we've got, let's see, Vanderbush and Bowie lined up to the left, one receiver to the right, one running back, Starnes the running back, Plainfield taking over at the Mooresville 46. Hand up to Starnes, he's got a hold there, up to the 40, up to about the 38, so it's going to be second and short. Luke Starnes there, his 11th carry of the game here. Seven minutes to go here in the second quarter. Plainfield has thoroughly dominated this game, but they only lead 7-0. They've gotten at least to the Mooresville 35 on all three possessions. Only got a score once. They also missed a 37-yard field goal, 2nd and 2 now. Hand off there to Starnes, and he plows his way forward. I think he's a yard short. I'll tell you, one thing I like about Luke Starnes, you know, only a sophomore, give him credit for one there, so it's 3rd and 1 now at the Mooresville 37. Starnes, he's so persistent, you know, he's a really jumpy guy. He switches directions, you know. He'll do everything he can just to get an extra yard. And that's the kind of guy you want on your team. You know, running back was probably our biggest question mark heading into the season, but Starnes, only a sophomore, has filled that position very well. So now, hands up Starnes again. He's got the first and about two more. Still, they give it to Starnes 3 times in a row. And let's see. They give him credit for 2. He needed 1. So 13 for 54 and a touchdown for Starnes. 5:53 to go and counting here in the second quarter. Plainfield 7, Mooresville 0. We've held the Pioneers to only 10 net yards so far. Well, we're closing in on 200. But we failed to score on our first and third possessions. We got to get some points here. Get that 2-possession lead. Take firm control of this game here. So 2 receivers now to the left, 1 to the right now. Newell, now he's got some room. He goes up to the 35, the 30, the 25, and he slides down around the 25. So I think he's got the first down, maybe a yard short. We'll see where they mark him. Okay, they gave him credit for 9. There's the 2nd and 1. Well, and, you know, and also another thing, it's 5:04 to go now here in the half. That'd be great if you could run 2 or 3 more minutes off and give Mooresville, who only has 1 timeout left, very little time to do anything. So now Weston Weyrich, new into the game at running back. He's the junior who's had some good moments as a backup. 3 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. Newell takes it now, throws into the end zone. He's got a man open. Incomplete. I couldn't tell if he made it, if he got the catch and got a foot down in bounds or not. So that'll be 3rd and 1 now. Okay, we got 2 more. Bowie, by the way, was the intended receiver. He has 2 touchdowns on the season. He's a junior, maybe the biggest pleasant surprise on the team, along with Starnes. So now, 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left now. Wayrich, the running back. And let's see. And now we got a timeout here with 4:42 to go. So, I think Plainfield figures, look, we don't want to be in a fourth down situation. Let's make sure we get this yard. And once we do that, you know, we're in the driver's seat. You know, we've got plenty of time. We have time to work the whole field, 4:42 to go. And we can just be very methodical and just get that touchdown and, you know, take a two-possession lead. That would really put us in firm control of this game, especially as Mooresville, obviously, you know, not the offensive juggernaut that they've been, you know, for most of the Mike Gillen era. I think they will be again, but, you know, after three consecutive years of starting the same quarterback, which is pretty rare, especially a quarterback as explosive as Nick Patterson, you know, dual threat. I believe 2 years ago, I think he was the only quarterback in state history to have 20 rushing touchdowns and 20 passing touchdowns in the same season. I've never confirmed that, but I can't think of anybody else who might have done that. So now 3rd-and-1 now for the Quakers, 4:42 to go, 3rd-and-1 at the Mooresville 26, leading 7-0. One receiver to each side, Vanderbush to the left. Now we got, now it starts going wide. And now, Newell got it. He rushes. He gets about 2 yards. So now, we've got fresh set of downs around the 24, 4:37 to go here in the quarter. Since, Newell had that, 14-yard sack, he's now rushed twice, picked up 9 and 2. First and 10 at the 24 for the Quakers. Three receivers now off to the right, one to the left. Vanderbush is to the left now. 4:18 to go. 6 on the play clock. 4:31. I don't know if they realize that he takes the timeout there. So playing field with 4:10 to go here in the second quarter takes its last timeout on first here at the 24. At that, we will take a short pause for a few words from our sponsors here at AudioSportsOnline.com. Tonight's broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football on AudioSportsOnline.com is brought to you by Midwest Pizza King, CJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Goodell Financial, Remax Featherstone Julia Burbridge, BCW Construction, Porter Hair Design, Holly Porter, My IT Indy, I-70 Record Service and Garage, and Ellison Associates Remax. Thank you, business partners. Your support of the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Mooresville, we're late in the first half here with your Plainfield Quakers leading the Mooresville Pioneers by a score of 7-0. The Quakers now have the ball first and 10 at the Mooresville 24. The Quakers have moved the ball very well. They dominated this game, but on their first and third possessions, they came away with no points. They did get a touchdown on their second possession on a 2-yard rush by, you know, guess who, Luke Starnes. Scored a touchdown in every game this year. The very promising sophomore. So now three receivers to the right, one to the left. Back to action here. One running back fakes the handoff to Starnes. Newell, plenty of time. Throws in the end zone for Vanderbush, and it is incomplete. So that's 2nd and 10, 4:05 to go. Caden Vanderbush hoping to join his older brother, Cato, in college. Cale now a sophomore at the University of Iowa in the Big Ten. He was a senior a couple of years ago. Hold that thought. So now empty backfield, three receivers to the left, two to the right. This is a good possession for a quarterback keeper, which Newell has shown that he's very good at. But this time he throws. He's got a reception inside the 15 to Miller up to about the 11. So now there's Isaiah Miller there for about 13. Yeah, they give him credit for 13. So Miller is his third reception of the game. They've all come in this quarter. He's 3 for 64, the leading receiver on the game. Our leading receiver on the season, Jameer Bowie, does not have a reception yet. So that's a good sign when your leader doesn't have a reception, but we're still playing as well as we are. So two receivers to the left, one to the right. Starnes, the running back, gives it Starnes inside the 10, and he's up to about the 6 now. Starnes got our first touchdown. He's got the one touchdown in each game. He'd like to get 2 tonight. 3:30 to go and counting now. Plainfield 7, Mooresville 0. Mooresville enters the game at 1-1, ranked number 17 in the state in the AP poll in class 4A. So Starnes gets 6 there. He's 14 for 60 and a touchdown. So now second and 5 at the second and 5 at the 6. And this time he stopped immediately. I believe that was Starnes again. No, that was Ferguson that time. Not Ferguson, but Ferguson. Okay, it's going to be a face mask against Mooresville, so that'll be half the distance to the goal. Not sure if that's an... Okay, so we got an automatic push down there. So half the distance to the goal. It'll be first and goal at the 4 for the Quakers, 2:56 to go. We're right where we want to be now. Let's just punch it in, boys. No excuses for not getting the touchdown here. So Ferguson, the running back now. We've got, looks like Vanderbush and Miller out to the right, dual in shotgun. And now the referee blows his whistle here, putting the game back in play. The clock starts running again, 2:53 to go and counting. Newell takes it, gives it to Ferguson, drives forward. He's going to be about a yard short. So Carter Ferguson, he is a senior who's paid his dues, making his varsity debut this year, getting his first carry of the night. He's had some very good moments in relief of Starnes, as has, and now they give it to Ferguson again, and he dives into the end zone, and he's got the touchdown. So 2:29 to go. Plainfield opens up a 13-0 lead with a conversion pending. So Carter Ferguson, his first career touchdown as a senior. He paid his dues, you know, playing freshman and JV ball, finally getting some good varsity action as Luke Starnes, number one backup, Weston Weyrich, who is a junior, also some good moments in relief of Starnes. Now it looks like we're going for a 2-point conversion here. We have Marcos Rivera now, and it's good. It's good. I didn't catch who got the snap, but he did get it in. So now it's a 15. So now it's a 15-0 Quakers lead. And I'll tell you, the great thing about, you know, I'll tell you, my first year of commentary was back in 2012. And one of Audio Sports Online schools that year was Danville. I commentated 3 Danville games. And their head coach at the time was a guy named Russell Sumner, who I think still does the track and field there at Danville. And he would just frequently go for 2-point conversions even when his team had the lead. And he told me that his philosophy is always trying to make the other team make the extra play. So, you know, let's say Mooresville gets a touchdown here. Well, you know, now they're more induced to go for a 2-point conversion now to try to, you know, keep pace with Plainfield. And if they miss, let's say they get a touchdown, they miss the 2-point conversion, it's 15-6, you still got a 2-possession lead. So, you know, if you can make your 2-pointers, if you can make your 2-point conversions consistently, it's a great strategy. I mean, if you make half your 2s, it's the same as making all of your 1s. So now Plainfield, the Mooresville taking over now, 2:29 to go. They do have 1 timeout left, but they've only gotten 10 net yards on the game, and now the tick is going into the end zone for a touchback.
both of them? Both of them? Okay. I'm going to try both the top and the bottom.
Yeah.
Well, 8:25 your time of day now. Mooresville taking over on offense. They desperately need to get something going. Only 10 yards from scrimmage the whole game. Playing field is thoroughly dominated. They should be up 28-0 now. At least it's 15-0. So now two receivers each side. Very aggressive formation for the Pioneers. Under Nick Patterson, this would have a lot of potential here. We'll see how they do under Hogan Denny. And he's pressured. He gets rid of it. And it is and now we got a pass interference. And they threw it to Dorn and pretty clear pass interference. So that'll be 15 yards for the Pioneers, and they need every 3 yards they can get. So that'll move it up to the 35 here. So now, first and 10 for the Pioneers at their own 35, 2:22 to go following that 15-yard penalty. They got more yards than that penalty than they've gotten from scrimmage in this game, 15-10. So now it takes the handoff, and he throws, and he drops it. Dorn was open, but he just didn't get the grip on it. Denny's 4 for 11 now. That'll bring up second and 10 for the Pioneers. So second and second and 10 now at the 35 for the Pioneers. Two receivers out to the left, one to the right. Dorn is one of the receivers to the left. And now hands off, takes the handoff, throws up the middle, and it's nearly intercepted. Went off the hands of Trey Bennett, who's a junior, and then nearly intercepted on the tip. So third and 10 here. And I'll tell you, if Mooresville, assuming they'll pass here on third and 10, if this is incomplete, Plainfield can get the ball with enough time to realistically get another touchdown.
Liam?
How is it? So now, Denny, I'm sorry, and now an incompletion again. This miscommunication there. And now 2:07 to go. And we got an official timeout, but when we come back, it'll be 4th and 10. So 3 incomplete passes after that pass interference penalty against Plainfield.
Does that work?
Yeah,
that works. Okay. Okay, you need to charge your head.
So now, they're going for it on 4th down. There's very high risk because if they don't get this, Plainfield's going to get the ball in excellent field position. And now they got the movement on the line. So I think it's going to be, let's see. Encroachment against Plainfield. So second and 10 now. So now two receivers each side. 4th and 5 now for the Pioneers of their own 40. 2:07 to go here in the second half. Plainfield leading 14-0. Now throws up the middle. He's got the catch. And Bennett picks up about 10 there, so he's up to about the 15. Boy, did Mooresville need that. Trey Bennett. Let's Let's see what kind of yardage they give him, 13. So now, and now he's another completion just for about 17 yards there. So that was Bruin there, picking up 17. So now all of a sudden, Denny's completed two in a row. Bruin has completed he's got four of the six receptions for Mooresville in this game. So first and 10 at the 31. So now, rolls right, and now takes it up himself, and he gets three or four. We got a flag, so let's see what that's all about. So Mooresville finally starting to get some offense going. Well, there they are deep in a hole already. It's going to be holding against Mooresville, so that'll be back it up 10 yards, so they got the ball now at the 41 here. So two receivers to each side. So now, takes the handoff. And now Denny rolls with it, and he's brought down right around the line of scrimmage, though. So 1:24 to go. Still got one timeout. So it'll be, so they give him, actually, that's a 1 yard loss there by Denny, so bring it up second and 21, 1:08 to go. They have the ball at the Plainfield 42. Plainfield has given up more yards on this drive than they have for the rest of the game, but I think all they're trying to do now is take away the big plays. Now screen past the door, and it is complete. He's inside the 40, inside the 35, breaks a couple of tackles, get up to about the 32. So that's a gain of about 10 now. So Levi Dorn. And now all of a sudden, Denny has completed his last three passes after going 4 of 12 to start off the game. Picks up 11 yards there. That's only Dorn's second reception. So first, third and 10 now for the Pioneers at the Plainfield 31. 22 seconds to go. Mooresville still with one timeout. Plainfield leading 14-0. And now we've got him for a sack. If we could just hang on, and he flings it away and it's nearly intercepted. Nevertheless, clock stops 11.8 seconds to go. Fourth down and 10 at the 31 for the Pioneers. All right. So awesome pressure there. Awesome pressure. So Mooresville presumably will go for it here. And I guess they will take their final timeout here. Well, they haven't yet. Okay. 11.8 seconds to go here. And now fix the handoff. Denny, he's running for his life. He runs, but he's over to the 25. 4 seconds to go now, and he gets out of bounds after a pickup of about 11. 2.7 seconds to go. Oh, he didn't get the first down, so Plainfield will take over. Oh, man, I thought he had it. Wow. Great effort by Denny, but... I thought he made it. It looked to me like he ran out on the other side of the post, but so they mark him down a yard short. One of the commentators was saying that he believes that the officials are saying that the ball was at the 22 where he needed to get to the 21. The ball was at the 22 at the time. That Denny stepped out of bounds. So now playing field presumably will kneel out the clock. 2.7 seconds to go. They do. So, overall, not a perfect first half, but a good first half for your Plainfield Quakers. They look like they're on their way to a 3-0 start. They lead the Mooresville Pioneers by a score of 15-0 here, in week three of the season. We'll be back with a recap and a look ahead to the second half here on AudioSportsOnline.com. Tonight's broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football on AudioSportsOnline.com is brought to you by Midwest Pizza King, TJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Ganell Financial, Remax Centerstone Julia Berberich, BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design and Holly Porter, My IT Indy, I-70 Record Service and Garage, and Ellison Associates Remax. Thank you, sponsors. Your support of the student-athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Mooresville, we're at halftime where things are going pretty well for your Plainfield Quakers here in Game 3 of the season. They've scored on two of their four possessions and almost completely shut down the Mooresville offense until that last possession, and they lead by a score of 15-0. After Plainfield on its first possession got down to do the Mooresville 35 and punted, Mooresville ended up punting back, and then on their second possession, the Quakers scored with 1:15 to go in the first quarter on a 2-yard rush by Luke Starnes. Cameron Grimes hit the extra point, making it 2-0. And then after Plainfield on his third drive advanced all the way to the Mooresville 10 on a 42-yard pass from Hunter Newell to Isaiah Miller, a 15-yard penalty and a 14-yard sack against Newell ended up resulting in a 37-yard missed field goal by Cameron Grimes. However, on Plainfield's fourth possession, they did score on a 1-yard rush by Carter Ferguson, and the 2-point conversion was good, bringing us to our current score of 15-0. Look at the individual statistics. First of all, for Plainfield, Hunter Newell, looks like this is going to be his statistically best game of the season. He's completed 8 of 13 passes for 139 yards. Isaiah Miller leads the way with 3 receptions for 64 yards. Luke Starnes is 3 for 15. Caden Vanderbush 1 for 46, and Brandon Hendry 1 for 14. On the ground, Luke Starnes looks like he's got another 100-yard game in the making. He's 14 for 59 at a touchdown. Carter Ferguson is 2 for 4 at a touchdown, and Hunter Newell is 3 for minus 3. Meanwhile, for Mooresville, they only got 10 yards total offense until the last drive, on which they moved pretty well, and I think Plainfield was just trying to take away the big play. Hogan Denny has completed 7 of 16 passes for 57 yards. Caden Brune has 4 receptions for 31 yards. Levi Dorn, 2 for 13. And Trey Bennett, 1 for 13. On the ground, almost nothing to report. Landon Clements has 3 rushes for 2 yards. And Hogan Denny, 7 for minus 1. So in conclusion, as long as Plainfield plays their game, as long as they do what they've been doing, they'll be fine. The only thing I want to see differently is to finish drives a little more. You know, we finished 2 of 4. We got at least to the Mooresville 35 on each of the first 4 drives. On the third drive, we actually got down to the 10, and yet, you know, on 2 of those drives, we came away with no points. That's too much. We've got to do more than, you know, score on every other possession, you know. This has been by far the best first half we've played all year. We played pretty well about the last 16 minutes of the first half against Terre Haute South. Didn't play very well against Harrison last week until about the last 6 minutes of the first half. And once we got going to both games, we were fine. But in this game, obviously, it's great that we've turned the tables over the last 2 weeks. We had, you know, we went down by 2 touchdowns in each of the first 2 games. We went up by 2 touchdowns. in this game, and Mooresville has only had one decent drive all night, and I think that's because we were just letting them have a lot of small gains as long as, you know, they didn't get a lot of yards and as long as they stayed in bounds. And, you know, Mooresville, because they only had one timeout, that obviously played into our favor. They used their first two timeouts back-to-back, just 2:11 into the game when we had it on 4th and 6. So, anyway, 11:07 to go now on the half-time clock, and I'll tell you, you know, it's right now, you know, Plainfield is 2-0 with the win tonight. They'll be 3-0 for the first time in 10 years. And, you know, I've been reminiscing a lot lately back to that season of 2013 and why I think that's such an underrated team. And I think the way that the season ended is really, really distorted that season in the minds of a lot of Plainfield fans. You know, Plainfield entered that season as the highest, Plainfield entered the 2013 season with the highest enrollment of any school in Class 4A. That was the first year of the 6A, that was the first year of the 6-class system. Now, Plainfield was 4A that year and the next year, and then in 2015 they moved up to 5A where they remain today and likely will remain for the foreseeable future. Unlikely that they'll have enough student population change to move either down to 4A or up to 6A. Probably would take a very long time. But anyway, they entered the 2013 season beginning a home-and-home series with Columbus North. It only lasted 2 years. We went down to Columbus North. To this day, it's the only time I've ever commentated Columbus North in any sport. And in 2012, Plainfield went 5-5, and the offense revolved around a star running back by the name of Austin Blevins. The quarterback, you know, at that time, the quarterback in 2012 was a senior by the name of Jacob Jay. Blevins himself was a senior. And Blevins had, I believe he handled the ball on 70% of our offensive plays and got 57% of our yards from scrimmage. And in fact, one of only two non-running clock games, varsity games I've ever commentated that lasted under 2 hours was Plainfield at Franklin that year. I think it was 158, and then Plainfield and Whiteland did 154 back in 2019. And so, you know, with Jay and Blevins having both graduated, I did not know what to expect from Plainfield in 2013. So anyway, what happened is we went down there, and the starting quarterback that game was a guy named Brady Nichols, a senior who had paid his dues and never started a quarterback in before. And, you know, basically, after Austin Blevins had graduated, there were two running backs, you know, who emerged as stars in that game, both with the initials JM. There was Josh Miller, a senior, and Jacob Maple, a sophomore. They each scored 2 touchdowns in that Columbus North game. And Brady Nichols, while he was not spectacular, he was very solid. He completed 10 of 15 passes for 135 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no interceptions. He played well enough that season that he ended up playing collegiately for Franklin College. And Plainfield got out of there with a 34-32 win over Columbus North, 6A team, who was coached at the – their head coach at the time was Tim Bless, the uncle, ironically, of current Plainfield head coach Tyler Bless. And Plainfield started off that season 4-1. The only loss was to Ron Colley. We also beat Danville, Mooresville, and Greenwood. But then injuries mounted, and we lost the last 5 games of the season. And, you know, I especially remember that tournament loss at Lebanon in a very cold game. I think the temperature was in the low 40s in the game. And, man, it was one of those games where there were two things I think really cost us that game. Number one, Josh Miller had a season-ending injury after 7 games. And without him and Jacob Maple together in the backfield, we just didn't have the same punch. And then the other thing was that Morgan Hagee, who was a junior, who had been very good for us as a sophomore and would be very good for us as a senior, and then went on to become one of the best college football kickers in the country for all 4 years at Ball State, missed all but two games because of a broken leg. And there were at least two times in the Lebanon game where we were down there easily. And, like, we were in six-shot range for Morgan Hagee, and we ended up with no points, and we ended up losing to a solid but unspectacular Lebanon team, 35-24. It's one of the few games I've ever seen in 45 years of football watching in which I can say definitively that a kicker being injured cost that team the game. And, you know, I think if we stayed healthy that season, we were solid contenders for the Class 4A state championship. And it's unfortunate that the last five games, that going from 4-1 to 4-6, really took away the luster from that really great 4-1 start, especially that great win on the road at Columbus North to start the season. But that's still one of my three or four favorite Quaker wins that I've ever commentated, and I talk about it a lot because I don't want fans to forget it. You know, the fact that the season ended on a downer doesn't take away the great things that team accomplished, and that they really, you know, they made us proud by how hard they played. You know, they really made us proud even in defeat that year because they did so well considering what they were up against. So anyway, now 5:14 to go. Some of the Quakers are back on the field now, as are some of the Pioneers. The bulk of the teams are still in the locker room. So now Mooresville now returning. Certainly the large near-capacity crowd here. Season opening, their opening home game here at Mooresville. Obviously not what they hoped to see. But, you know, after 5 years of being spectacularly entertained with the high-octane Mike Gillen offense, this is a rebuilding year, understandably. You know, it's very rare that you have the same starting quarterback 3 years in a row, especially a quarterback the magnitude of Nick Patterson. But, you know, those are the breaks sometimes. Mooresville will be back. They're going to be they're going to be in the upper tier of the Mid-State Conference for a long time, I have a feeling. And speaking of Mike Gillen, right now I'd like to just look at, I mentioned that he's the fourth winningest coach in Indiana history and third winningest active coach. Right now, the number one, winningest coach in Indiana high school football history by a good margin is Larry Bud Wright at Sherrod, and he's in his incredible 58th season. He's 82 years old now. His record will probably never be broken. I remember his birthday because he's born almost 30 years to the day before I was. He was born December 13th of 40. I was born 30 years and a day later, December 14th, 70. Who knows how much longer he'll go, but he has 448 wins. Whether he aspires to 500 or not, I don't know. But anyway, in second place is Russ Radke up at Knox. He's won 390 games. In third place is longtime Jasper coach Jerry Brewer, who's retired now. And in fourth place is Gillen with 358 wins. Brewer has 368, Gillen 358. So certainly, very likely that Gillen will surpass Brewer for at least third place. As for, you know, whether Gillen will move into the top two, that depends how long Radke and Wright go. Right now, I would say being 90 wins behind Wright, that looks doubtful. But, you know, nevertheless, outstanding run that Gillen has had. And coaching four teams all here in Central Indiana, like I said, Tri-West, Decatur, Central, Indian Creek, and now Mooresville here in his seventh season with the Pioneers. Lost his first eight games there, then they won their last game of the regular season, first two tournament games, and they've been on fire ever since. Five consecutive seasons of at least 8 yards, three sectional championships, one regional championship. This year rebuilding after losing Nick Patterson to graduation, and moving Hogan Denny over to quarterback. And, you know, I'll tell you, when I think about moving people from other positions over to quarterback, one example I always use, one of my all-time favorite, sentimental favorite moments in Plainfield history, even though it was a loss, go back to 2017, you know, we started the season, you know, with Ben Slayton as a junior. He was quarterback for six games before, you know, he ended up leaving the team after six games. Then we put in Nate Dalton, and then he got injured. And then in week nine, we put in a senior wide receiver, Tyler McCarty, and he rushed, I think, for a 65-yard touchdown in that game. And man, that was, even though Martinsville ended up winning and we, you know, had the disappointment of losing on senior day, it was so inspirational to see what he did, you know. And, you know, we were all just so proud of him that night. And, you know, I need to put together, after 12 years of commentating the Quakers, I really need to put like a top 10 or top 20 list together of my favorite moments. Obviously, number one is going to be, you know, Hunter Newell to Noah Hessling for that 19-yard touchdown pass to win the sectional over Decatur Central last year. That was, I'll tell you, you know, my partner, Rob Kendall, did the call of that play, but man, my reaction is hilarious. You could just hear my total incoherence. So, anyway, it was a, last year, you know, was a wild ride, you know, and, you know, one thing that you learn when you're a sports fan for a long time, especially when you follow one team for a long time, it's not always your best team that wins your championships. I mean, I don't think anybody who watched the Colts every season of the Peyton Manning era, as I did, would say that 2006 team was our best team. I think they were maybe our fourth best team. I'd put them behind 05, 07, and 09, but it was the 06 team where everything lined up and we won the Super Bowl. You know, with Plainfield, they had, and I mean, I've only been following the Quakers since 2012 when I joined the AudioSportsOnline.com team, but, yeah, I definitely, I would say absolutely, that was there were four or five better teams we had than last year's team that did not win sectionals. I think probably the 2016 team, I'd say, was the best. We lost the sectional championship game to Zionsville that year on a play that went down to the wire. We had it, I believe, on the 12, and Clayton threw into the end zone into a crowd of people, and it took, I think it was a good, it seemed like a 10 seconds, probably wasn't that long, but it seemed like a long time before the referee signaled no good, but that was a game where we played our A-minus game and Zionsville played their A game, you know. So, what can you say? We lost to a team. We were about evenly matched in that game, but we just had two breaks that didn't go our way that night. And we lost 10 points on the field, and we lost by 5. But, yeah, I think the 2016 was the best team that I ever commentated for Plainfield, you know, where you had, you know, Ben Slayton as a sophomore, and then Dante Keys and Gavin Ritter, the wide receivers. And I still remember especially, hopefully it's still on the line, I think for a long time it was on Gavin Ritter's highlight reel on one of the recruiting or high school football pages. He made an awesome one-handed catch for a touchdown against Plainfield. And so now there's 1:02 left on the halftime clock, 8:53 your time of day. Plainfield, when we resume play for the second half, Plainfield will be, have a 15-0 lead. Mooresville does get the ball first to start the second half. They might have gotten some confidence when they got their first significant drive of the game there to end the first half. Nearly got a score. They got in Quaker territory for the first time. Drive died at the 21. It turned it over on downs as Hogan Denny ran for the first down and just missed it. And by the way, for those of you who aren't here who've never been to Mooresville before, you know, unlike most schools that have some sort of school logo on the 50-yard line, Mooresville actually has the state of Indiana with the flag inside because the state flag was actually designed here in Mooresville by Paul Hadley. It was officially adopted as the state flag on May 11th, 1917, 106 years ago. So a nice piece of trivia here in Mooresville. Yeah, and the colors of the state flag are the school's colors. My son Liam just pointed out. It's a good observation there, Liam. Liam is a very observant kid. He's, when we watch movies, he's really good at picking out continuity errors. So now, Bruin takes the opening kickoff at the 5 up to about the 15. He's got a hole, and he's tripped up. I thought the ball came loose, but he still got it. So, the Pioneers will take over for the first possession of the second half, around the 27-yard line, trailing 15-0. So Mooresville needs to get something going here if they want to have a chance to get back in this, especially because Plainfield, the ball has not stopped much on Plainfield's possessions. They've been very efficient, both on the ground and through the air. So two receivers to the left, one to the right, one running back. Denny in shotgun, hands off to Clement, and he gets up for about five. Clement's only 3 for 2 in the first half. He gets about five or so there. Give him credit for 4 there. Second and 6 at the 32 now for the Pioneers, trailing 15-0. Plainfield has dominated the game, but they failed to get any points on two drives deep into Mooresville territory. That keeps the Pioneers in relative striking distance, and now a keeper there by Denny. Looks like it did get a first down there. It's going to be very close. Depends on the measurement, but so they got the first. So they got exactly what he needed. .11:05 to go and counting now in the second quarter. So now we've got, let's see. We've got Bruin and Dorn out to the right now. And now fake handoff to Clement. And it's a pass to, that was J.J. Knight there with a short reception for about 5 yards. Give him credit for 5. Denny has not had a lot of success throwing, but he has not thrown an interception either, and that was J.J. Knight with his first reception there. Second and 5 at the 43 here. And now a handoff, and after they give it to Clemens, and he plows forward very hard, he's going to be very close to the first down. Give him credit for 4 there. So Clements with two rushes for 9 yards on this drive. So two receivers each side now. And now a keeper there. And, boy, Denny goes for it, but it's going to be really close. It depends on the spot. He might have come up a little short. It'll be 4th and 1 if he doesn't get it. Let's see what they rule. Yeah, no, he didn't make it. Wow. So 4th and 1, I believe the Pioneers are going to take a timeout here on their first possession of the second half. As they are in a very, very critical situation, They need to get a score here badly, or Plainfield will get the ball with a chance to take a 3-possession lead here. So the Pioneers want to make sure they don't squander this drive. They're at their own 47 now. They started to move decently on their last two possessions after being almost completely shut out prior to that. They had 10 yards of total offense on their first three possessions. So in both halves, Mooresville has used at least one timeout in the first 3 minutes. So the first half they actually used two back-to-back in the first 2:11. So the Pioneers looks like they are going to go for it. So one receiver to each side now. Clements, the only running back. Now the play clock running, 21 seconds. One receiver to each side. And now we've got a flag here, a flag on the snap. And it's going to be against Mooresville. So fourth and one becomes fourth and six now. So now will the Pioneers still go for it? I think they almost have to in this situation. So now, two receivers to the right, one to the left, one running back. 8 seconds on the play clock, a very critical fourth and six for the Pioneers. And now Danny runs, and he's got it. Boy, did he need that. Boy, did the team need that. Boy, he ran with aggression. You could tell that he really feels that the game is starting to, you know, slip away. So good run there by Denny. They give him credit for 10 there. So first and 10 now in Plainfield territory at the 48. Still trailing 15-0, 8:48 to go. Plainfield trying to snap a five-game losing streak to the Pioneers. Mooresville's only beaten Plainfield in a row twice in rivalry history, the first 5 years and the last 5 years. The two teams have played every year since 1947. So now Denny throws a deep down the right side, but it is incomplete. Not even close. 8 of 18 now for Hogan Denny on the game. So now, 2nd and 10 for the Pioneers. So now two receivers to the left, none to the right. Takes the handoff and now throws, it's got a completion to Brune. He gets about 6 or 7, so it's going to be 3rd and short. So 8:13 to go. Denny now has completed 9 of 19. Picked up 6 there. Brune has 5 of the 9 receptions for 37 yards. So two receivers to the left, one to the right. Clements, the running back. Now it throws up the throws on a slant to Dorn. He's got the first. He stays on his feet, and he gets some help from some blockers. And now it looks like there's going to be unnecessary roughness against Plainfield. They threw him down when he was contained. So, yeah, possibly foolish penalty there by Plainfield. So now, let's see, it's going to be personal foul. So Mooresville will be glad to take their 15 free yards, so it moves up after the 11-yard gain. It goes from the 31 to the 16 now, so the Pioneers get to the red zone for the first time in this game. So the fans starting to get some spirit here. They've been pretty quiet so far, understandably. That was Dorn's third reception. He has 24 yards now, so first and 10 at the 16 for Mooresville, trailing 15-0. Lanefield going to his first 3-0 start in 10 years. And coming with two games coming up the next 2 weeks, they should win home games against Perry, Meridian, and Greenwood. Hope to see you there. So now two receivers to the right, one to the left. And now a handoff there to Clements. He goes up the middle, and he gets about 4 or 5. Clements is starting to, get going on this drive after being nearly completely shut out in the first half. Give him credit for 4. 6 for 14 now after going 3 for 2 in the first half. So now two receivers to the right, one to the left. Clements, and now screen pass over to, and he dropped it. Caden Brune, after 5 receptions, they had his hands on it. He just didn't get the grip. So now 3rd and 6 for the Pioneers. So very critical 3rd down coming up for the Pioneers. I doubt they would go for a field goal here because they would still be in a 12-point deficit, which is that's a 2-touchdown deficit. Mooresville's consumed nearly half of the first half on this possession. So if they don't get a touchdown, they are in big trouble. So now 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. And now he's running for his life, and we got him for a sack. No, he got rid of it. Wow. And now he's up to about the, we got about a 2-yard gain. So that was Clemens. He got rid of it to Clemens. And, but it's still going to be 4th down. 4th down and 2 at the 10. I assume they will go for it. 4th and 4, excuse me. I wonder if Landon Clements of Mooresville is related to former Plainfield player Dayton Clements. Probably so. Maybe not closely, but I bet there's some relation there. So now, Mooresville going for it, 4th and 4. Danny under pressure, he takes it up, and he tries to get rid of it, and the ball comes loose, and Plainfield gets it. So Plainfield takes it over on downs. So, good first drive in which the Mooresville gets to the red zone. They come up with no points. Plainfield similarly has come away with no points on 2 trips deep into Mooresville territory as well. But the Quakers still with a 15-0 lead. And what makes that hurt even more for Mooresville, they consume more than half of the first, more than half of the third quarter on the drive. So now on the first play of the next drive, they go deep to Vanderbush, and he just doesn't get the grip on it. It hit to Miller. He would have had at least 25 or so yards had he made the reception. Newell 8 for 14 now. I like the spirit, though, going for the dagger, on their first offensive play of the second half, already leading 15-0. 1 touchdown would just about clinch it now for the Quakers. 9:09 your time of day. So 3 receivers to the left now, 1 to the right. 1 running back. Newell takes it. Hands off there. They're on top of him. And, you know, he misses the tackle up to the 15, 20. We got a flag. Knocked out of bounds from the 25. That was some starts if it counts. It'll be about a 14 or 15 yard pickup. But we'll see if it counts or not. So second, we've got the officials deliberating here. Still waiting for a signal here. Holding against the playing field. The ball comes back to the 8, so it'll be 2nd and 13 for the Quakers, wiping out a 14 or 15-yard gain by Starnes. So, yeah, Mooresville desperately trying to get a 3 and out here to, you know, get the ball back with a chance to make it a one-possession game. So now 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. Mule gets it to Starnes. They're right on top of him, and they bring him down right around the line of scrimmage. He might have even lost a yard or two. So a loss of 2 yards there for Starnes. So now 3rd and 15, I'd imagine Plainfield will be very conservative here. They still got a 15-0 lead. Mooresville's not done a lot offensively. They've done better in the last couple of possessions, but still have not finished the drive. So now hands it after Starnes. He's got some room up to the 15, up to about the 17, so he picks up about 11 or so. But, you know, not close to the first down. So, Mooresville apparently will get the ball back on a punt. 4:26 to go now and counting. So. Give Starnes credit for 10 there, bringing him to 67 of the game by my count on 14 carries, nearly 5 a carry. Luke Starnes, unquestionably, our top rusher right now, and he's got a couple of good backups in the Western Ray, and now the snap on the punt is whistled dead. But yeah, Western Ray, Richard Jr., Carter Ferguson, a senior, both have had some nice moments as backups. So it's good to know we have that kind of depth. You know, almost every year in the Brian Woodard era, we had at least one rusher get 1,000 yards, sometimes 2. Last couple of years was more of a struggle, you know, in part because of, you know, having a young and injured offensive line. So now, Grimes standing at the goal line. The punt is up. It's not a good punt. It's taken at the 42, brought up to the 40, 30, up to the 35. So, decent run there by Brune. So Mooresville gets some good field position, and they sure need it. So now, and now throws it up to Bennett, and he breaks a tackle, and he could go all the way, and he does. Wow. So now Mooresville gets on the scoreboard. They will need at least one point. They'll need at least one conversion point to make it a one possession game. So let's see what happens here. Obviously, the Pioneers really need that. It brought some life into this crowd. But, yeah, it was a short pass to Trey Bennett, and he broke a tackle on the left side and, you know, just ran with reckless abandon and got it. So and my son just said somebody blew confetti, just blew confetti. So Denny has not played badly today. Just, you know, Mooresville's offense overall has struggled. So now The Pioneer is going for the 1-point conversion that would cut it to 8. And it is up, and the kick is up, and it is good. So it is still a one-possession game. Mooresville could tie with touchdown in the 2. So with 3:29 to go, Mooresville scores a touchdown on their second possession of the half. Their first possession, they got down in the red zone, turned it over on downs, but did force Plainfield to a 3-and-out. Got the ball on the Plainfield 35 after a punt, and then on the first play, scored. I was actually sending a message to Rob Kendall, my boss, and didn't realize the drive was about to start, so that's why my coverage of that play started so hastily. I apologize for that, but anyway, hopefully Plainfield will respond by getting those points back. There's been one touchdown in each quarter so far. One in each of the first two quarters by the Quakers. Now one in the third quarter by the Pioneers. But here's where that 2-point conversion comes in handy. If Mooresville does score if the next possession of the game is a Mooresville touchdown, they will have the pressure of having to get the 2-point conversion. So now the fans stomping on the bleachers here. Great to see so many people here on Labor Day weekend. On both sides, you know, both the bleachers visiting and home, almost completely full tonight. Got about, I estimate, 2,500 fans here tonight. And a lot of the standing room, too. And also, I didn't notice until just a few minutes ago, they have bleachers in both end zones, which, you know, are well attended as well. So now Vanderbilt takes the kickoff return up to the 25-30. We've got a roll, 35-40, 45, one man to be 50, 45-40, 35-40. Yes, he's going all the way. Jenkins Vanderbilt, 99 yards for the touchdown. Oh, my God. Oh, man. Yes. All right. 15 seconds is all it takes for the Quakers to get those points back. All right. So Vanderbush gets his first receiving touchdown of the season last week. Gets his first kickoff return touchdown tonight. Right after Mooresville first scored the game. So 21-7 now with the conversion pending. So Plainfield has only had 3 offensive plays in the first 8:46 here of the second half, 9:18 your time of day. And now the 2-point conversion is good. So 23-7 now. So that's important because, you know, if even if Mooresville gets 2 touchdowns, they got to make two-point conversions to tie it. So, the 2-point conversion strategy working very well in the first 3 games of the Tyler Bless era. And that's the big difference, you know, between the Tyler Bless and the Brian Woodard era. You know, I commentated Plainfield the last 11 years of Woodard, and he rarely went for the 2-point conversion. So, you know, I like that Bless is, you know, keeping going a lot of the Woodard traditions, but adding some of his own stuff as well. You know, every coach should, you know, be himself. Man, I'll tell you, Vanderbush's college stock just went up. What is it about that family? And you know, piece of trivia. I'm going to teach you all a little bit about onomastics. Onomastics is the study of names. I had to look that up because I study names. I didn't know if there's a word for it or not, but there is. Van, when a name starts with Van, it's Dutch. Van means of or from. So, and very often what follows Van is the name of a town or village. So often you can use that name to trace where the person's ancestors came from and narrow it down very specifically. So now a squib kick, feeling it around the 20th to the 25, and he's tripped up just short of the 30. So Mooresville, 15 minutes and 3 seconds to make up 60 points. Plainfield looks like they're on their way to 3-0. You don't want to take it for granted. You got to keep on taking it seriously. Got to, you know, play, keep on, you know, keep. Got to keep on, you know, playing well from start to finish. And now pick standoff. And the pass is tipped and, a Quaker defender, I believe it was Isaiah Miller, rushed at it, but he didn't get close to it. So, Hogan Denny, you know, my hat goes off to him. He's given a courageous performance. He's completed over half of his passes tonight. One touchdown, no interceptions, but, well, replacing Nick Batterson after 3 years, it's a tall order. And, of course, I look forward to seeing two receivers now to the right, one to the left. And now it throws over the head there of J.J. Knight. So it's going to be a very critical third and 10 down for Mooresville. And if Plainfield gets this ball, then they can really put the game in deep freeze. And if they get even a field goal, they've basically clinched this. 2:54 to go now in the third quarter here on Labor Day weekend. The game started about 20 or 25 minutes late because the Skydivers were late, but they did put on a good show at least. And the crowd here didn't seem to mind. So none of the all of the three games the Plainfield's played this year have started well beyond the standard 7 o'clock start time. I assume the remaining six will start around 7. But two receivers now to the right, one to the left, and now he gets rid of it and gets about 5 or 6. Denny is nearly sacked. He got rid of it, and he did get a reception there to Landon Clements, his second reception of the game. Yeah, I look forward to seeing, though, who to seeing what quarterbacks are coming up the turnpike for Mooresville, you know, who's, like, playing in JV in freshman ball right now. Because I'm sure that Coach Gillen is starting to, you know, groom a another rising star. So after 4 yards, they go for it on 4th and 6. And then he's pressured, and he's got it. We got him for a sack. So we take over around the 21. All right. So let's just go in for the dagger here. And now we got a flag after several seconds after the play. Usually that's unsportsmanlike conduct, but we'll see. I didn't see anything outrageous, but, you know, who knows what happened. Based on the amount of time, you know, after the play that the flag was thrown, I assume it's going to be against, I assume the play will count. Okay, so it's going to be 15 yards against Plainfield. Personal foul. So, Plainfield takes over now, 1st and 10 at the Mooresville, 38, the Quakers lead 23-7, 1:59 to go here in the third quarter. They're closing in on their first 3-0 start in 10 years and ending a record-tying 5-game losing streak to the Pioneers. So two receivers now to the right, one to the left, Hunter Newell in shotgun. He's had a very solid game. Gives it to Starnes. He's met at the line of scrimmage, and he gets back to about the line of scrimmage. Starnes now, by my count, 15 for 67. For 66, they give him credit for minus one there. So 139 to go and counting. So now two receivers to the left, one to the right. Starting still the running back, New Orleans shotgun. Gives it, now takes it, and this time Newell takes it himself. He gets about two or three. And now we got a flag here. .116 to go now. The clock stops. Not sure what the face mask against Mooresville. Okay, all right. Good break for the Quakers. So it will be a first down for the Quakers. So they get back. I guess what they lost on that what they lost on that personal foul. So it'll be first and 10 for the Quakers at the 22. So now Carter Ferguson gets the ball. He takes it up for about two. Under a minute to go in the third quarter, now Plainfield leading by 16 points. Ferguson gets two there, bringing up second and eight. Quakers can afford to be very methodical. This is theirs to lose now. They will beat, presumably, barring a catastrophe, they'll beat Mooresville for the first time in 2017. It will be their 50th all-time win against Mooresville compared to 31 losses. Three receivers to the left now, one to the right. Now handoff there to Ferguson. He gets some room, and he up to the 15, 10, inside, and spins around inside the 5. So Carter Ferguson gets up to about the 5, 40-person goal for the Quakers, and they'll be able to let the rest of the quarter run out. So Carter Ferguson, with his longest carry of the game, they give him credit for 15 there, and I think they're just going to let the clock run out. Seven, and it looks like I don't think they're going to like try to get anything going here. So, after three quarters of play here at Mooresville, your score, Plainfield 23, Mooresville 7 with the Quakers first and goal at the Mooresville 5. We'll be back with the thrilling conclusion after these words from our sponsors on audiosportsonline.com. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football on audiosportsonline.com is brought to you by Midwest Pizza King, CJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Gamel Financial, Remax Centerstone Julia Burbridge, BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design Holly Porter, My IT Indy, I-70 Record Service and Garage, and Ellison Associates Remax. Thank you, sponsors. Your support of the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Mooresville, we're about to start the fourth quarter with your Plainfield Quakers on their way to an apparent victory. They lead the host Mooresville Pioneers by a score of 23-7 in game three of the season. The Mid-State Conference opener for the season for both teams in Mooresville's home opener. Plainfield enters the game 2-0, ranked number 8 in the state in Class 5A. Mooresville opens 1-1, ranked 17th in the state in Class 4A in the AP poll. But Plainfield now has the ball first and goal at the 5. So now we've got Vanderbush and Miller to the left. I believe Starnes is the running back in there, New Orleans shotgun. Takes it, low snap, and he gets it over to Starnes. He's in the end zone for the touchdown. Yes. So Luke Starnes, his second touchdown of the game, fourth of the season, and your Quakers have taken firm control of this game. They lead 29-7 with the conversion pending.
All right.
So now The Quakers now have gotten one touchdown in every quarter. Starnes might not get 100 yards tonight. And now the two-point conversion is good. Yes! That one was by Elijah Flowers. So Plainfield has hit all four of its conversions, three of them for 2 points. So they've gotten 7 conversion points rather than the usual 4. And believe me, there are times when that can be the difference between winning and losing. So this very interesting, exciting strategy from new head coach Tyler Bless really paying off so far through 3 games. All right. Well, last year when these two teams played back at Plainfield, Mooresville won 38-0. And it wasn't quite the blowout that the final score implies. Plainfield actually got in the red zone twice in the first half, but Hunter Newell threw 2 interceptions, one at the 1 and 1 in the end zone. So you change those to touchdowns, which they should have been, and it could have been a neck-and-neck game in the second half. The only touchdown we got in the game, by the way, was on our first possession of the third quarter. It was a 71-yard rush by Troy Larison, the track and field star who played varsity football as a senior. And I'll tell you, Larison, a sensational, sensational athlete, maybe the fastest Quaker I ever saw. If he had made football his number one sport, I think he would have been a super, super star. I mean, it was amazing he did as much as he did, you know, not playing varsity football until he was a senior. So now Plainfield 31-7. Mooresville, to tie it, they would need not only 3 touchdowns, but 3 successful 2-point conversions. 11:55 to go. And it goes all the way into the end zone. Luke Starnes, by my count, 16 rushes, 71 yards, 2 touchdowns. Hopefully you got him on your high school fantasy team this week. So 2 touchdowns tonight, and 2 touchdowns tonight for the Quakers on their kickoffs. That's good. 2 out of 5. So now Mooresville just trying to get something going, trying to finish the game on a positive note. They go into Greenwood next week. It will be head coach Mike Gillen's 500th game as a head coach. He's in his 45th season as a head coach. He's been a head coach now in 6 decades. 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. One running back. Denny takes it. He's got plenty of time. Throws deep, and it is, and he's got a man open, but Dorn didn't even reach his arms out for it. It looks like he was not prepared for it at all. He was open, and he might have gotten all the way, but the Pioneers offense has just never fully gotten on track tonight. So, 11:47 to go here in the game. Plainfield 31, Mooresville 7. So now, 2nd and 10. And now, Denny, and he runs with it, but he's brought down for a loss. So it'll be 3rd and long. And I'll tell you, this is, I'm sure, frustrating, you know, hard for the Mooresville fans after being spectacularly entertained with this Mike Gillen offense over the last 5 years. But it's nothing wrong with the program. It's, you know, there are growing pains post Nick Patterson as the Mark Denny for -3 there. So 11:08 to go now. And now they crush him inside the 5. All right. Yeah, I like that. I mean, you know, we're up by 24, but, you know, we went ahead and, you know, just blitzed him anyway. And, you know, I like the spirit here. So, wow. So they mark him now at the, that's the gain of a loss of 9 there. We got some really good sacks on Denny tonight. Hopefully they'll continue next week at home against Perry Meridian. So now two receiver, one receiver to each side. And now a punt from the back of the end zone. Taken at the 45, up 40, 35. Got three on the right side of the field, 30, 25, 20. And we got a flag, 25, 15, 10, 5. It's in the end zone, but I don't know who's, it might count, it might not. We'll see about the penalty. Let's see what the flag is, though. .9:41 to go now. The clock is, I'm not sure why the clock is running because it was, don't know why, because the clock's been running now for, and now it stops with 9:32. Plainfield is going to hold it, so the punt return for the touchdown will not count. Boy, that would have been great to have a kickoff return for the touchdown and a punt return for a touchdown in the same game, although the punt return just wiped out by the holding penalty. Nevertheless, the Quakers do take over in good field position in Mooresville territory at the 45. So three receivers to the left now, one to the right, and now a handoff there, and we got a fumble, and Mooresville gets it with 9:28 to go. So the first turnover for the Quakers in the game. So, wow. So yeah, I'll tell you, when you've got the game pretty well clinched, you don't want to have a letdown, so that's one minor blotch on the game. It doesn't negate the overall very good game that we've had, but yes, it's disappointing to see. You know, you want to protect the ball all 48 minutes. Nevertheless, this is a solid A-minus performance by the Quakers. Easily our best game of the season. So now, Mooresville trying to finish on a positive note, 9:28 to go, trailing by 24, and it's caught there for Dorney, breaks the tackle. Gets past the 40 up to about the 39. So that will be a first down there for the Pioneers. So that's Dorn's fourth reception. He has 36 yards by my count. So now first and 10 at the 40, screen pass, and now up to Clements, up to the 35, up to about the 32. And now we got a late flag here. Two flags here. So if it counts, it'll be about a 7-yard pickup there by Clements on the screen pass. But let's see, we got three officials deliberating here. Well, Mike Gillen arrived in Mooresville in 2017. That year, Plainfield beat the Pioneers 54-14. However, it's been 5 in a row for Mooresville since then. The scores of those games, 52-42 in 2018, followed by 24-7, 41-21, 63-42, and finally last year, 38-7. So all by double figures. And by an average of about 20 points. So certainly this is a welcome win for the Quakers. There's a block in the back against Mooresville, so the gain will be negated. The Pioneers now have the ball first and they have first down at the Plainfield 48. 8:57 to go. Plainfield on their way to a win. And now a pass over to Dorn for about 10 yards. But, yeah, this has largely been domination by the Quakers. 10-yard pickup there for Dorn. So, two receivers to each side now. Clements, the running back. And now it's a screen pass, and it is caught. He's going to be close to the first down, a yard short. That was J.J. Knight there with a 9-yard reception. So Denny is starting to file some decent statistics here late in the game. That's Knight's second reception. So now third and one for the Pioneers at the Plainfield 31. 8:15 to go in counting. Plainfield 31, Morrisville 7. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. Limits for running back Denny and shotgun. A keeper, he takes it up. He's got the first and maybe one or two more. Mooresville, obviously, weak in rushing this season. They need to, or in this game, not in the season. Denny's averaged over 10 coming into tonight. Averaged over 10 yards a carry, but he's been completely shut down in this game with several sacks. So two receivers to the right, one to the left now. And now we got a fumble, and he falls on it. Saves it, but it's going to be a second down and long. Going to be a loss of about 4 or 5 yards. So it'll be second and 14 for the Pioneers, 7:15 to go in counting. Second and 14 at the Plainfield, 33. So now we've got Knight out to the left. Dorn over to Brune, and he's got the catch in. And we got a late flag. I think they're going to get him for a late hit. And now, oh boy, we got the official going in to break up a potential fight. We had a Quaker push several feet out of bounds on the Mooresville sideline, but nothing, it didn't look like anything out of the ordinary happened. There was pitch over to Caden Brune. It'll be his sixth reception of the game of Cal's. 6:50 to go. Plainfield will break a five-game losing streak to the Quakers. That's happened twice before. Mooresville won the first five matchups between these two schools from 1947 to 51. Then they won the last five. Plainfield will move up to 50 to 31 all time in the series against the Pioneers. So it's going to be a personal foul against the Quakers. And you don't, even with the game virtually clinched, you don't want to, you know, we had the fumble and now we've got the personal foul. You don't want to lose your discipline even when you've got the game firmly under your control. You've got to get in good habits. So a couple of blotches here late in the game. Doesn't change the fact that this is a very promising season for the Quakers, but you don't want to see you just don't want to see any nonsense, you know. You got to get in good habits. So now, two receivers to the left, one to the right. The Mooresville trying to get another score here. They're in the red zone. And now throws into the end zone, and it is incomplete. I think he was going after Knight there on the left middle of the end zone. So now second and 10 at the 18. And now throws the bullet, and it's caught around the 10. That was received there by Knight there. J.J. Knight with a gain of about 8 yards there. Give him credit for 8, so it'll move it up to the 10. That's Knight's third reception of the game. He's gotten 22 yards receiving. So second and 10. Second and 2 at the 10, 6:12 to go. The Pioneers trying to get another score to make the final score not quite as bad and just get their offense going. Their offense has not been as good this year. Trying to rebuild after 3 sensational years with Nick Patterson at quarterback. Now a handoff there to Clements, and he might have gotten the first. We'll see where they mark it. They give him credit for once. It's going to be 4th and 1. I assume the Pioneers will go for it. So now the Pioneers, 5:27 to go, trailing by 24, trying to end the game on a positive note. 2 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. Takes the hand up to Clemens. Then he takes it, rolls right, throws into the end zone, and it is incomplete, and the Quakers will take over on downs. 5:16 to go. And I would imagine we will probably see some backups now. Plainfield with a 24-point lead. 5:16 to go. It'd be interesting to see who we put in as quarterback. Hunter Newell will be graduating after this season, after 2 full seasons as starter and then 1 season as a sophomore 2 years ago where he played about, you know, half of the last 6 games. I mean, he played the last 6 games and did about half of the quarterbacking in each of those games. Then when Carson Melvin unexpectedly transferred to Westfield, this became Newell's team the last 2 years. After a shaky start through 3 games last year, he played very well for most of the remainder of the season. And he's been very, very solid, an excellent game manager this season, made very, very few mistakes. And now he's got some room. He's got a 1st down. I think we had a newcomer in there. That was Starnes again. Okay. I thought it was a newcomer, but no, it was Starnes. He picked up about 17 there. So Starnes still with a shot to get I've got him 17 for 88 here and 2 touchdowns. He's averaging over 100 a game on the year. He could get 100 for the 3rd consecutive week to start off the season. So now throws down deep, and it is overthrown. I believe Miller was the intended receiver there. So bring up 2nd and 10, 4:42. Okay, he was throwing to Bowie, who had nearly 100 yards the first week, but hasn't done much the last 2 weeks. Maybe we're just trying to get in some more receptions. You know, Hunter Newell, he is, you know, you've almost not noticed him this year because he's just, you know, and I don't mean that as any kind of put down. He's played very well. It's just that he's just been so quietly efficient, like Tim Duncan was, you know. And now handoff there, I believe that was Starnes again. He gets 3 or 4. 4:34 to go. Plainfield sticking with the starters, maybe. Bless just wants to keep on giving them more experience. I was hoping to see some of the newer guys, but you know, as long as the stars are in there, I want them to keep on doing well. Starnes only picking up 1 yard there. I have him 18 for 89 and 2 touchdowns. So the Quakers take a timeout with 3:58 to go. Leading 31-7, and I thought we will take a break for a few words from our sponsors. You're listening to Plainfield Quakers Football on AudioSportsOnline.com. We would like to thank our sponsors who made tonight's broadcast of Plainfield Football on AudioSportsOnline possible. Midwest Pizza King, CJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Gannell Financial, REMAX Centerstone Julia Burbridge, BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design and Holly Porter, My IT Indy, I-70 Record Servicing Garage, and Ellis Associates Rebacks. Thank you, sponsors. Your support of the student-athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Mooresville, where Plainfield is about to finish off a very big victory over the arch-rival Mooresville Pioneers, the Quakers lead 31-7, and they have the ball 3rd and 8 at their own 29 with 3:58 to go, following a timeout. Two receivers each side now. Hunter Newell still in shotgun. Takes it, drops back, screen pass to Luke Starnes. He breaks the tackle, but then is brought down for just a very short gain, only about 1. So presumably the Quakers will punt here, and Mooresville will get one more chance. And Mooresville takes the timeout. I guess they want time to finish the game on a positive note. Most of their drives, starting with their last possession of the first half, have gotten into Quaker territory, but they just have not been able to finish the drives except for their one scoring drive, which was followed by a 99-yard touchdown return on the kickoff by Caden Vanderbush on the ensuing kickoff. Wow, what a game. By the way, that was Starnes' first reception of the game after, by my count, 18 rushes. So it looks like he'll fall just short of, he'll fall short of 100 yards tonight, although he averages well over 100 a game on the season. Arguably our MVP. But yeah, Newell has just been so efficient. He's just done all the little things. He hasn't been spectacular, in part because he hasn't had to, because we've had such balance on both, you know, rushing and passing, and our defense has played well enough that, except for, you know, those couple of deficits we had the last 2 weeks, you know, he hasn't spent that much time where, you know, he had to do anything fancy. So the punt fielded, caught at the 35, and they dropped it. And, you know, Plainfield, I believe, got it. Waiting for the signal. No, Mooresville got it. Wishful thinking. So let's see. So Mooresville will get one more chance. 3:38 to go. Two timeouts, trailing by 24. Hope you all will get back out at Plainfield the next 2 weeks. Perry Meridian a week from tonight, and then Greenwood 2 weeks from tonight for homecoming. Should win both games. Not guaranteed, but very likely. And that would move us to 5-0 for the first time since all the way back. I believe in, let me check here. I've got my stats here. Yeah, Plainfield's last 5-0 start was all the way back in 2006 when they actually started 11-1 before losing the sectional championship to Cathedral 35-7. That was Brian Woodard's first season as the head coach. They won at least 4 games in the Woodard era every season except for one. That was 2011. So now two receivers to the left for Mooresville. Screen pass up to 35-40, and he might have the first down. He does. So that's a Pioneer first down there. Give him credit for 14 there. So Denny now, 17 for 29 through the air. And now he throws up the middle, and it is incomplete. Going for Dorn there. So 3:10 to go, 2nd and 10 for Mooresville at their own 45, Plainfield 31, Mooresville 7. The Quakers have dominated the game. They have trouble finishing drives in the first half, but they finished enough that it's a very comfortable lead for them. So now Mooresville sends Levi Dorn and Tyler Denny out to the left. And now screen pass, it is completed to Dorn up to the 50, and he's stripped up just past the 50. So it's going to be 2nd and short there for the Pioneers. Give him six there. Seven for 52 on receiving for Dorn now. Levi Dorn is senior. He's done a lot of big things over the last 3 years for the Pioneers. So one receiver to each side now. Now fakes the handoff. Throws over. He's got, looks like he's got a, that's Tyler Denny there on the reception. His first reception of the game. He gets the first down. Plainfield will give up, you know, I presume Plainfield will give up plenty of short gains here. They just want to keep the ball in bounds. Tyler Denny with his first reception goes for 6 yards. Morrisville has the ball, first and 10 at the Plainfield 45 now. The snap. And now he's nearly sacked, but he gets rid of it that time. So, Mooresville obviously, you know, would like to get another score to end the game here. Second and 10 now, for the Pioneers at the Plainfield 45, 1:59 to go, trailing by 24. 9:57 your time of day is a late start tonight. And now, a throws downfield. It is complete to Dorn, and he gets out of bounds at the 35. Might get the first down. Depends on the spot. Yeah, did they give me enough for the first down? So Denny actually might get 200 yards here. He's compiled a lot late, you know, after the Quakers had put it away. 8 receptions for Dorn now. So now, 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. We got Dorn and Tyler Denny out to the right. 1 receiver to the left. Clement still in there, running back. High snap, but he gets it. Throws deep down the right side to Tyler Denny. It is incomplete, but we got a possibly pass interference penalty, which would move it up to the 20. 1:49 to go. The clock stopped here. So, for those of you just joining us, Plainfield, a game that's, you know, we're getting used to being on the air late with the late starts this year. Most of our broadcasts will probably be over by 9:30. This one's still going on at 9:58. There's still 1:49 to play. Mooresville with the ball, 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. 1 running back. Hogan Denny has some good moments, but the Pioneers have had a hard time finishing drives. So now Denny throws up the middle, and it's off the fingertips. Now the intended receiver pounded us just twice on the ground in agony. That's just kind of night it's been for the Pioneers. 1:43 to go. Plainfield, like I said, they've lost 5 games in a row to Mooresville twice. The first 5 games in the series, now the last 5 games of the series. 47-51 and 2018-2022. Plainfield's longest streak, winning streak over Mooresville, 16 games. Unlikely, you know, they're going to do a streak like that again in the near future. But anyway, so now Denny takes it, drops it back, throws up, and it's nearly intercepted. So it'll be 3rd down and 10, 1:35 to go. Denny, I think, is just getting a little, just trying to get anything going, trying to get any kind of score here. He has more yards than Newell, but that's because, you know, he's played from behind, you know, for almost the entire game and, you know, been induced to throw a lot more. Newell has just not had to do anything fancy because, you know, it's been such a balanced team. He's had so many weapons. that, and really nobody really has to, this isn't a team where any particular player has to have a huge game for us to win. That's very encouraging to see, you know. So now Newell takes it. He's heavily pressured. He throws deep toward the end zone. This could be intercepted. It's not, tipped into the end zone. Incomplete. So I have Denny 20 of 36 on passing now. So, fourth and 10 now. The Niners have it at the Plainfield 35. I assume they will go for it here. So the Pioneers take a timeout with 1:19 to go, and this game keeps going on and on. But the good news is that, you know, whether it ends in 5 minutes or 15 minutes, Plainfield will win. They will be 3-0. They moved up three notches from number 11 to number 8 in this week's AP poll on the strength of last week's 15-14 win over Harrison. They should move up. Of course, a lot depends on who loses or has a bad performance ahead of them. But, you know, obviously, they are almost certain to move up at least one or two notches. I don't want to get too excited about that because, you know, I remember, like I said, Avon back in 2019, they, were 9-0 and, were number one in the AP poll the last 8 weeks of the regular season, and they didn't win a playoff game. They lost to Brownsburg. You know, I'm more interested in having a deep tournament run. I'd like us to at least repeat as sectional champions, if not go further. You know, and certainly with Harrison and Decatur Central and our sectional, especially as good as Decatur Central, as improved as they seem to be this year, there's certainly no guarantees of winning a sectional, but it is possible. And I don't want us to, I'd hate for us to, you know, be 9-0 or 8-1 and not win a playoff game, you know. So now, the Pioneers going for it, 4th and 10 at the Plainfield 35, two receivers deep side. Denny pressured and breaks a sack. He gets rid of it, and he's got a man wide open, and he gets the touchdown there. Levi Dorn there, 35 yards. So 1:09 to go, and the Pioneers cut the lead to 31-13 with the conversion pending. And Denny was open. God, he was almost over from here to Plainfield. Wow. So... and Hogan Denny did not throw an interception tonight, by the way. So now, let's see, will they go for one or will they go for two? So now, let's see, there, so Mooresville is going for the two. And if they get this, it will be a, if they get this, then it will be a 16-point deficit. Throw into the end zone, and did he get it? Yes. So I threw it to Tyler Denny for the 2-point conversion. And, so with 1:09 to go in the game, the Pioneers do make it a 2-possession deficit. Onside kick likely coming up. But I'm sure that Mooresville's glad to have gotten some offense going here, you know, late in the game. They only had 10 yards total on their first three possessions. They have done better since then, in part because I think Plainfield has just been trying to take away the big play. But, you know, Levi Dorn, I've been meaning to say this for a while, but, you know, the last couple of years, my broadcast partner Rob Kindle and I have been joking that after Levi Dorn's playing career is over, that he and I should start a sports talk show together called Dorn and Zorn. Meet Levi Dorn. I think I follow him on Twitter. I'll check on that. But yeah, I'll have to get in touch with him and tell him about that. I think it's a great, great opportunity for the two of us. Not only do our last names end with Orn, but our first two, our first names both start with L-E. So, great win for the Quakers, though. Great way to start off a Memorial Day weekend. Most of us have 3 days off. I've had, this will be the first time with 3 days off in a row since, sometime around, Independence Day, about 2 months ago. So I am ready for it. Ready for a great cookout on Sunday with my family. The onside kick. And, I cannot tell from my vantage point who got it. Let's see. Had, I'm still waiting for the call. A couple of officials are deliberating around the 50. 109 to go here. So Plainfield, Plainfield will take over at the Mooresville 46. And they might, I think, it could be that a Mooresville player illegally touched it at the 46. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but had Mooresville recovered and they scored a quick touchdown and got the two, it would have been a one possession game. Not likely, but, you know, the possibility would have existed. So now, with Mooresville and out of timeouts, Plainfield can kneel at the clock, and they do. So, 5 years of frustration against Mooresville come to an end for your Quakers. It ties the longest winning streak by Mooresville in the series. Like I said, Mooresville won the first 5 games in the series from 47 to 51. They won the last 5 years. They were trying to, you know, get a record 6th straight win over the Quakers tonight, but after the heavy losses to the offense, especially 3-year starting quarterback Nick Patterson, it just wasn't to be. Mooresville will be back. I have a feeling they'll be a top-5 team again in a year or two. But right now they're a rebuilding team. Plainfield's the team of the present. So as the final seconds tick off, your Plainfield Quakers, survive a couple of early squandered drives, and they pulled away to get a comfortable 31-15 win over the Mooresville Pioneers here in week 3. Great way to start off Labor Day weekend. We'll be back with a recap and a look ahead to next year's, our next week's showdown at home against Perry Meridian after these final words from our sponsors on audiosportsonline.com. We would like to thank our sponsors for making tonight's broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football possible. They are Midwest Pizza King, CJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Gannell Financial, Remax Centerstone Julia Burbridge, BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design and Holly Porter, My IT Indy, I-70 Record Service and Garage, and Ellison Associates Remax. Thank you, sponsors. Your support of the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Mooresville for a final time tonight, where your Plainfield Quakers have gotten off to their first 3-0 start in 10 years with a 31-15 win over the Mooresville Pioneers. It was a game in which Plainfield dominated from the start but had trouble finishing drives. They came away with no points on their first and third possession despite getting well into Mooresville territory. However, they did still pull away to win comfortably by a score of 31-15 with, let me get the, let me pull up the stats here. With 1:15 to go in the first quarter, Luke Starnes scored on a 2-yard rush. Cameron Grimes hit the extra point, making it 7-0. Then with 2:18 to go in the second quarter, Carter Ferguson scored on a 1-yard rush. The 2-point conversion was good, making it 15-0. Up Mooresville finally started to get its offense going late in the second quarter, and then with 3:29 to go in the third quarter, Hogan Denny threw a 35-yard touchdown pass to Trey Bennett. The extra point was good, making it 7-0. However, for Plainfield, Caden Vanderbush returned the ensuing kickoff 99 yards for a touchdown. The two-point conversion was good, making it 23-7. And then finally, with 11:55 to go in the fourth quarter, Luke Starnes scored his second touchdown of the game on a 5-yard rush. A third consecutive two-point conversion was good, making it 31-7. And with 1:09 to go, Mooresville closed out the scoring on a 35-yard pass from Hogan Denny to Levi Dorn. Both of Denny's touchdown passes tonight coming from 35 yards out. The two-point conversion to Tyler Denny was good, bringing us to our final score of 31-15. Mooresville then went for a Mooresville then went for an onside kick that was unsuccessful, and Plainfield ran out the clock. A look at the individual statistics. First of all, for Plainfield, Hunter Newell completed 9 of 16 passes for 140 yards, no touchdowns, and no interceptions. On receiving, Isaiah Miller had his best game of the season with 3 receptions for 64 yards. Luke Starnes had 3 for 15. Caden Vanderbush, 1 for 46. Brandon Hendry, 1 for 14. Starnes had 4 for 16. So, Miller, 3 for 16. Isaiah Miller, 3 for 64. Luke Starnes, 4 for 16. Vanderbush, 1 for 46. Brandon Hendry, 1 for 14. Meanwhile, on the ground for Plainfield, Luke Starnes had 18 rushes for 89 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he's averaged over 100 yards a game, and he's averaged more than 100 yards per game on the ground, and had 4 touchdowns overall, 1 in each of the first 2 games, 2 tonight. So excellent start to the season for Starnes, arguably our MVP. Also, Carter Ferguson, 4 rushes for 21 yards and a touchdown. Newell, 4 for -1. Meanwhile, for Mooresville, Hogan Denny completed 23 of 37 passes for 230 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. It should be noted that a vast majority of his passing yards came in the second half when Plainfield was in firm control of the game and was just letting Mooresville have a lot of short gains. On receiving, Levi Dorn led the way with 9 receptions for 97 yards and a touchdown. Trey Bennett had 2 for 48 and a touchdown. Caden Broom, 5 for 37. J.J. Knight, 3 for 22. Landon Clements, 3 for 20. And Tyler Denny, 1 for 6. On the ground, Mooresville was almost completely shut down the whole game. I have Landon Clements, 7 for 15, and Hogan Denny, 14 for 0. He had several big tackles for loss that offset some of his decent gains. So, in conclusion, this is a game in which Plainfield was in control the whole way. They struggled to finish drives in the beginning, but they got off to a much better start than they did in the first 2 games. And I'll tell you, the 13-0 deficit in the first quarter we had against Terre Haute South, and the 14-0 deficit we had against Harrison in the first half last week seemed like distant memories already. We took firm control of this game early. We scored the first 15 points tonight, and then when Mooresville threatened to make a game of it when they cut it to 15-7 late in the third quarter, we took care of that immediately by running the ensuing kickoff in for the touchdown. So there was never much question about this game tonight. Even though we did enter on a 5-game losing streak to Mooresville, we were the favorite. Mooresville not off to a bad start this year, 1-1. They got a decent win last week over Danville. But basically, rebuilding almost from scratch on offense. They did return Levi Dorn, a great wide receiver for the last couple of years. But Hogan Denny playing quarterback for the first time. He's doing well, all things considered. But it's just such a dramatic revamp after 3 years under Nick Patterson. So just give Coach Gillen a year. He's one of the great offensive geniuses in the state. He'll have Mooresville an annual, you know, contender for the Mid-State, you know, conference championship, even though Mooresville's a 4A school playing primarily in a 5A conference. So we caught Mooresville in a rebuilding year and thankfully ended that 5-game losing streak to them, which, like I said, matched the longest in the history of this long rivalry. This is the 77th consecutive season that the two teams have met. They've met every year in Mooresville football history. They've met every year in the regular season, four times in the playoffs. Plainfield now leads the all-time series 50-31. But, you know, as for this game specifically...
Okay, good.
This was a game in which I give Plainfield an A-. They should have finished those first and third drives. You know, for example, the third drive, we gained 42 yards on a great pass from Hunter Newell to Isaiah Miller, taking us from the Plainfield 48 to the Mooresville 10. Then we had a penalty and a 14-yard sack. Ended up with no points. And then there were a couple of, lapses after we had the game clinched. We lost the fumble in the fourth quarter. We left Levi Dorn wide open for an easy touchdown reception. But those were the only blotches. I mean, and again, this is a team that's made a few mistakes all year. I think that fumble, I think that time when Newell didn't get rid of the ball and took the 14-yard sack, I think that's the first serious mistake he's made all year. I mean, he's played fundamentally I give him about a 97, 98 for his fundamental performance this year. He hasn't been flashy, but he's been extremely efficient. And his solid but unspectacular numbers point to the fact that he has not had to do a lot of fancy stuff because, he hasn't been in desperate situations this year. Even when we had the two touchdown deficits the first 2 weeks, he was calm, cool, and collected, and we came back a little at a time. Like, you go back to the Terre Haute South game a couple of weeks ago, we were down 13-0. We had three scoring drives to take the lead. We had the touchdown late in the first quarter, then the field goal in the second quarter, and then Newell himself ran in the go-ahead touchdown late in the second quarter, and we led the rest of the way. Terre Haute South never scored again. So, overall, I'd give us probably a B+. And each of the first two games, they gave us an A- tonight. I said I wanted to see, after we played about 40 minutes of good football to close out the Terre Haute South game and about 30 minutes of good football to wrap up the Harrison game, I wanted to see 48 good minutes tonight. I think we had about 43, 44 good minutes tonight, just a few not-so-good minutes. So we just got to keep on doing what we're doing. We've got a good rush-pass balance, pretty much a 2-to-1 rush-pass ratio. Starnes has shown that he's very reliable. And then we have, Weston Rayrich did not play tonight, but he's had some good moments each of the first two games. Carter Ferguson has had some good moments in every game. And Isaiah Miller, really had a good game tonight. Caden Vanderbush has really come into his own the last couple of weeks with the touchdowns. Two touchdowns the last two games, one receiving, one on the kickoff return tonight. That came at the best time possible when Mooresville had just made it a one-possession game. And then Jameer Bowie, he's had about two receptions the last 2 weeks after the 6 for 96 yards and two touchdowns in the opener a couple of weeks ago at Terre Haute South. So we've got a lot of weapons we can hit you with, and if we have one guy or two guys have enough game, we still have enough weapons where we don't have to, we don't have to have one guy get 100 yards on the ground or through the air to have a chance to win. And those are the types of teams that have the best chance to make the good tournament runs, because it means they're very hard to contain. When you get down to the playoffs and let's say you have like one running back who gets 100-plus yards every game, And if you have a team that's good enough to contain your running back and you don't have enough weapons, you know, to fire back with, it could be a long night for you. But I think we're deep enough that there aren't any teams in 5A, or at least very few, that would be able to really shut us down. Or, you know, that's not to say that there aren't teams that are better than we are in Class 5A. I mean, we entered this game at number 8, you know, and two teams, you know, in our conference ranked ahead of us, Decatur Central at number 4, who certainly are going to want to get back at us for the two losses we gave them last year, including the way we broke their hearts in the sectional championship. And then Whiteland, who's beaten us 6 straight times in 12 of the last 13. But, you know, if we keep on improving week to week as we have this year, I think we could be, you know, as good as anybody in the Mid-State Conference and make a very deep run in the playoffs. And if we just win the sectional, especially if we draw McCutcheon in the first round of the weakling of the sectional and then have to beat either Harrison or Decatur Central for the sectional championship, you know, and then we're in the final 8, and then we have to win 2 more games to get to the state championship. And once you get that deep, you know, anything can happen. So it's a lot to look forward to, but a third of the season is in the books now. Got two-thirds to go, two-thirds of the regular season, that is. And I think that if we just keep on improving week to week the way we have, I think we're going to be in good shape, and I think we're going to be a top-5 team in Class 5A. And hope we can keep Coach Bless at least as long as we kept Coach Woodard. We'll see. If so, that means, I mean, if he were to stay 17 years, he'd be here through the 2039 season. I'll be 68 that season. I hope he'll last that long. I hope I'll last that long. I hope my brain and voice and eyes will last that long, so I can keep commentating and keep commentating the Quakers until then. But this is about as exciting a time to be a Quakers fan as there's ever been. Coach Woodard, you know, God, he so much deserved that sectional championship last year after losing 6 sectional championship games, getting some of the worst tournament runs possible, finally getting the win against our biggest rival in the dramatic fashion that we did on a 19-yard pass, you know, with 1.3 seconds left when we were trailing by 4. And he passed the torch to a guy who I think is going to do as well, and who's going to keep the program moving up. So, anyway, it's a lot to look forward to. But like Rocky Balboa said, you know, one punch, one round at a time, or something like that. I think that's the quote from the movie Creed. Anyway, the next One Step at a Time is a week from tonight when Perry Meridian visits us as we continue Mid-State Conference play. The Falcons joined the Mid-State Conference back in 2018, and even though they are the only 6A team in the conference out of the 8 teams, they finished last in the conference their first 4 years. From 2017 to 2020, they won only 3 games total in those first 4 seasons. They won only 3 games in those 4 seasons. However, now in their 4th year under head coach Greg Cooper, now in their 3rd year under head coach Brett Cooper, they are showing signs of turning a corner. 2 years ago, they were 2-8 last year, got up to 4-7. This year, they are only 1-2, but they've played pretty well overall. They lost only 29-12 to Franklin, who's ranked number 16 in Class 6A in the Hoosier Crossroads Conference. They got a very nice win last week at Southport, 40-10, and tonight a very narrow loss to Franklin in the Mid-State Conference in overtime, 26-20. So they're clearly an improving team, and they're going to be gunning for us next week. Last week was the closest game in the 5-year series between the two schools, 28-14. Granted, the score was misleading. We were up 28-14. We were 28-0 in the fourth quarter before, after we got our 4th touchdown. They got a kickoff return for a touchdown on the ensuing kickoff, and then got a touchdown late in the game with their 3rd string. But nevertheless, they did play us closer. The years that we've been played against them in since they've been in the Mid-State Conference, 2018 we beat them 42-7, followed by 42-20, 42-7 again, 28-7, and then last year 28-14. So they are closing the gap. They're going to be gunning for us. So should be an exciting game, a game that we, if we play our A game, we should win, but it's not a guarantee. So hope you all will get out there to support the team for week four tonight, as well as week five against Greenwood 2 weeks from tonight for homecoming. We'll talk about that game a lot next week. But anyway, so far this season, Perry Meridian, they played pretty well under junior quarterback Alan Tupon in his second year as a starter. His numbers have been a little down through the first two games this year, but still showing promise. He's completed 16 of 36 passes for 184 yards, one touchdown and one interception. His leading receiver is senior Zachary. I'm sorry, his leading receiver is junior Byron Hahn, who has only four receptions, but they've gone for 96 yards and a touchdown. Also, senior Jalen Young has seven receptions for 60 yards. And on the ground, senior Zachary Huckabee has shown a lot of promise with 17 rushes for 136 yards. That's eight, and even 8 yards a carry and three touchdowns. In addition, Tristan Ling has 27 rushes for 111 yards and a touchdown, while junior Jonathan Hunter has 7 rushes for 86 yards and 1 touchdown. So that's 3 very capable rushers. And so that's going to be a handful for us. So better come to play. I'm sure we will, but, you know, we've got to play our A game, get off to a good start like we did tonight, and just keep on improving. And if we do, we should move up to 4-0 next week and likely 5-0 against Greenwood the following week, which should bring us up to our next road game 3 weeks from tonight at Decatur Central, 5-0. And likely ranked in the top five, which, you know, for what would likely be a huge showdown with the Hawks, who are currently ranked number 4 in the class, and obviously can't wait to get their hands on us again after last year. Not only did we snap their 13-game winning streak against us, but we beat them twice, you know, once in the regular season in overtime, and then obviously the sectional championship game. So they're going to be in a nasty mood that night, so we better be ready. So that would be so awesome if we entered that game at 5-0, and they entered at 5-0, because they were 2-0 entering their game tonight. Let me see if I got a final from them tonight yet. No, they lost tonight to Whiteland, 31-15, ironically the same score we had here. But, you know, Whiteland entered the game number 6 in the class, and they went to the Class 5A State Championship game last year, so nothing to hang your head over. So, anyway, a great game tonight, but I think this team's going to keep getting better. We got about 43-44 good minutes tonight. I want to see 48 good minutes and a victory next week over Perry Meridian, and hope to see you all there. So, once again, your final score here tonight at Mooresville, Plainfield 31, Mooresville 15. The Quakers improved to 3-0. They should move up from their current number 8 ranking in the AP poll. They snap a 5-game losing streak to Mooresville, tying the record in series history. Mooresville drops to 1-2 and will visit Greenwood next week, while Plainfield will return home to play Perry Meridian. So what a great way to start off Labor Day weekend. Hopefully y'all will enjoy the rest of your long weekends. And then once you go to work on Tuesday, just remember, just 3 days until the Quakers are back in action. Well, this concludes the broadcast. As always, thank you so much for joining me, and I cordially invite you to do so again 1 week from tonight as your Plainfield Quakers return home to play the Perry Meridian Falcons. Until then, for AudioSportsOnline.com, this is Lex Zorn reminding you, there is a difference only you can make.